The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Randy, off the internet.
No! No, come on! Leave me alone! But Sharon, I got stuff to do! I gotta see my credit rating, and I gotta send an email to Nelson and check out Foley's vacation photos!
You don't have to do all that now. You can do one more thing, and then it's bedtime.
One more thing?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Whoever this person is, he has played World of Warcraft nearly every hour of every day for the past year and a half. Gentlemen, we are dealing with someone here who has absolutely no life.
Paul Perillo.
Mom, tell them. Tell them I'm not fat, I'm just big bone. Tell them all the stories about how everyone in your family was big as a child but then groomed their bodies.
Oh, sweetie, those were all lies. You're just fat.
And Andy. And Andy?
I'm a pretty bad kid.
Really? What's the worst thing you've ever done?
I stole the head off a statue once.
Andy Hart.
Wow, that's pretty hardcore. That's like this one time when I didn't like a kid, so I ground his parents up into chili and fed it to him.
Eric Scalavino.
I'm not going to be confused anymore just because you say I should be. My name is Butters. I'm 8 years old, I'm blood type O, and I'm bi-curious.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
What?
Been on your computer all weekend. Shouldn't you go out and socialize with your friends?
I am socializing, Artard. I'm logged on to an MMORPG with people from all over the world and getting XP with my party using TeamSpeak.
I'm not an Artard.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. The gang's all here, minus Eric. He'll be by later. Eric's here, Paul's here, Fred's here, Kevin's in the booth. We're talking Patriots today from 12 to 2. With
Andy's here.
Did I not mention your name?
No, you said
you
Fred's
called
here.
Eric. You called him Eric.
Oh, did I call Andy Eric?
Oh. You did.
Oh.
That just ain't right.
The ultimate insult.
Anyway, we're here from 12 to 2. All of a sudden, something went
I can't hear you.
I can hear Andy. I can't hear Fred.
Yeah.
Is it on?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Now it is.
Okay.
Wasn't right. His fault, though, even though he fixed it.
No, it's probably my fault.
All right. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. It's media day here, but unlike most Wednesdays, when you guys come direct from the locker room, they switched that to 4 o'clock today. So you have nothing to report from the locker room because locker room access isn't until later for whatever reason.
I can report a near tragedy from the tunnel.
Yes, what happened? Did you almost get hit by a golf cart?
No, but Bill Belichick
Bill
did.
Bill Belichick.
Oh, really?
He very came close. Out of the tunnel from KSB, and a guy was flying
you
down.
Know, was he in a green one? Because, you know, it's funny, because I was on my way here, you know, about 15 minutes ago, and this guy came flying by me. And I'm thinking to myself, one of these days, somebody's going to get clipped.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny that you saw the same thing.
And it was almost the head coach.
The guy today, in all seriousness, was going too fast.
Yeah. He was in a green one, right? And it smelled like gas like crazy?
I don't know.
I was just wanted to say, to be honest with you, I was a little bit more focused on Bill Belichick. And you know,
do you have to sidestep him?
Well, he was coming out of the hallway, stepping into the concourse as the guy was coming by. And Andy and I could see the two things developing. And it was like, whoop.
Whoa.
It was close.
Wow.
The green ones do go faster.
Yeah.
They're not traditional golf carts. They're like utility
the
vehicles
gators.
Or something.
Right.
Well, it's not quite a gator. It's kind of in between. But
they took the governor off.
Yeah, those things move pretty well.
Hello, governor.
Yes, Fred is drunk.
Where was Bill on his way to?
I'm assuming he was coming from All Access taping.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Down in the studios.
Sure, makes sense. So, as I said, 4 o'clock open locker room
today.
He
didn't stop to give us a schedule update.
Do we have any...
Tom Brady today either.
Do we have any... No, he switched to tomorrow.
Correct.
Do we have any idea why they switched to 4 o'clock today?
I think they're just trying it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's more convenient for the players to be available at that time to the media. I don't know.
Wow.
Seems like they're just trying it.
Okay.
We'll see if it works.
We'll see.
And we'll see if the media bitches about it.
Well, I'm sure they will.
My guess is yes.
Yeah.
My guess is you could put Tom Brady on their couch in their living room at the perfect time for them, and they'd still bitch about something.
But practice is still around the same time, so Eric will be here at the end of the show with the report from the practice field.
Correct. That is correct.
I assume they're going to practice outdoors today. It's a fairly nice day today, a little chilly.
A little nippy.
But that's kind of what it's going to be like on Sunday, 4:25 game. So.
Yep.
So what are you thinking? How do you feel?
I don't know.
I feel very similar about this game as I did heading into the last game.
So a nail biter.
No, the way I felt heading into the game.
Yeah, me too, but I'm trying to listen to Fred, who says we shouldn't feel that way anymore.
No, you should feel like every game is up, you know.
No. I feel like this is a team they should ease, even though they have the same record. I think the Colts are a mirage. I don't think they're nearly as good as what their record says. I think they do a lot of things poorly that lead to playing bad football and losing. All that said, I feel that way about other teams, and it doesn't work out that way. So your edit letter, I'm trying to buy into your edit letter, and I think that's the way to go. Don't predict blowouts against anybody. Right. Not even the Jags. I think you eliminated the Jags. I'm saying against anybody.
Yeah, I mean, I know exactly what you guys are saying, and I agree with you. I look at the Buffalo game, and I'm not saying it was a fluke that it was close, because it wasn't. You know, Buffalo had every opportunity to win the game at the end. But I don't necessarily look at the other end of it being a blowout. Like, the Rams game was a blowout. 45-7, the Rams, after they scored their touchdown to open the scoring, really were never in the game
right
the rest of the way. Buffalo, despite being down 14 points, I don't think they were getting blown out. But I thought the Patriots were in control. I think that that's the same kind of game you're going to get this week, only I'd like to see the elimination of the Patriots not scoring on that last drive.
Right.
Or, you know, not allowing not allowing that two-score lead to get to one score in the fourth quarter.
That's the thing.
One or the other.
That's the
thing. If you win 41-31, right, that's about what people thought, and maybe a little higher on both ends.
When the Patriots were first and goal at the two,
if you get in there and win 41-31, it's a whole different outlook.
Exactly. You feel the same way about the whole game, you know, about the end of the game that you felt about the whole game. That, you know,
and it's not a fluke. I don't want to.
But the Patriots were always in control because they didn't punch it in at the end there. That's changed your whole outlook
on
that game.
No, well, it's not the game I had predicted.
I thought they were going to be more in control. 38-23, and I thought the Patriots would get a lead, but I don't want to, like, because I see Andy's, I mean, like, I could see Andy's
face.
They
were within a field goal in the fourth quarter, so that's not the game I predicted.
No, I know, and that's what I'm saying.
If they punch that in at the end,
it doesn't matter.
Now all of a sudden it's two score, and you're unleashing the hounds.
To me, it's more about the touchdown that the Bills got to get within three at 34-31. If they eliminate that touchdown and come up with one stop during the course of the game, then I'm looking at it kind of the way I thought. I don't think the Patriots
are
going to. Well, that's why it was closer than I thought.
I mean, they haven't all year except for the Rams. The only game that's played out the way that it should have was the Rams.
But that's what I'm saying.
That's the only blowout that they controlled and just did what they do.
Should have, but, you know, we're just, I think.
Right,
that's
my point. I need to rein in my expectations of what they are capable of doing. Right.
Yeah, what I'm trying to explain for my personal, and this is not saying what anybody else thinks, but I think had they gotten the stop and won the game 38-23 or whatever, I don't think that's a blowout win.
No, it's not a blowout.
And that's why, like you said, no longer am I predicting blowouts. I would agree with that. I think Andy is right. I think that's what you've seen for most of the games is the other team's ability to move the ball and score points. So that's why I don't think it's just going to be blowouts. But I do think that some of these teams, like Buffalo and like Indianapolis, even to a greater extent, I don't think they'll be able to keep up. So I don't think it's going to be 45-7 at the half. Like, the Rams game was just over. It was 28-7. It was a blowout. But I don't think Indy can keep up. And I didn't think Buffalo could keep up. You know, I was wrong about Buffalo. They did.
Yep.
I don't think Indy will be able to do it.
Yeah, and
in other words, if the Patriots had come up with a stop in the fourth quarter and won that game 37-24, I don't think that's a blowout win. Yeah. I think, like Andy says, you know, Buffalo was moving the ball and they had opportunities to score and they scored. You know, it's not necessarily a blowout because I don't think this team defensively is capable of blowouts.
Well, but now they've got Aqib Talib. And
you are right.
We will be wearing jersey number 31 for all those people who have to know that information.
Adding to the long and storied history of that number here in New England.
Yeah. Brandon Merriweather.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Katoser Wanga.
Yeah.
Another guy who took a shot and missed.
Yeah. So we'll see a first glimpse of him
in the Big Bang
on the practice field today, or Eric will anyway.
Yep.
And
do you think there's any chance he's not activated? Because I don't.
I don't either. Now, there is a chance he doesn't start.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
But I think I'll be stunned if I don't get to Saturday and there's a release. Patriots activate Aqib Talib, release.
Because remember,
Derek Martin,
he hasn't played football for over a month.
Right. I'm not expecting him to go out and play 68
right.
snaps.
Right.
I'm just saying, you only have seven games with the guy. I want him out there.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm hoping he's in shape. If he gets out, the one thing is, if he gets out here and he's in terrible shape, okay, well, now I can't risk him pulling a hamstring or something and missing the rest of the season. But I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say he's a professional football player and he shows up ready to practice, to run, to do those
yeah,
things.
Yeah, and I think he's going to be out there in passing situations and, you know.
Against this team, that's first down, second down, and third down.
But you know what I mean, where obvious passing situations. And I don't think he's going to play, you know, starter reps. He hasn't played in over a month. It's been four games. And then when you tack on the week before, and then, you know, it's been over a month since he's played football.
Mm-hmm.
And that's tough for anybody. You know, even if you did your workouts and stayed in shape, you know, you're a little rusty.
But in my opinion, the thing that he supposedly is, just a cover guy, that's one of the ways you can show up and do it.
Well, and that's why I think he'll be out there. But, you know, like, the corners have to do run support. I don't think, you know, they're going to depend on him for that right away. You know?
He hasn't been gone that long.
Well, it's, you know, when you're talking about a four-month season, 1 month is 25% of it.
Yeah, but for the last 15 years, he's known that if a guy runs toward me with the ball, tackle him.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, what do you think, Paul?
I think he's going to play a lot.
A lot?
Yeah. I don't know about start or whatever, but
yeah, I don't, and starting is who cares?
He's going to play starter
majority
reps.
Majority of reps.
I think he's going to be out there a lot.
Yeah. Okay.
I think the Patriots will be in the lead. I think it'll be a throwing game for the Colts. I think they'll have extra defensive backs out there. So if you say he doesn't start, maybe he won't. But I agree with Andy. I think they need to get him out there. They need to get him acclimated. He needs to get his reps.
Yeah.
He's the answer.
And what happens? Well, you know, we're still unsure of what the shuffle ends up being.
No idea.
You know,
I know what I want to see, but I have
because
no idea.
Obviously,
what...
a big deal is if Chung is healthy.
Right.
That you know, complicates things. Mm-hmm. If he's healthy, what do you do with him?
Had he not almost gotten hit by a golf cart, I would have stopped Bill and asked him. But, you know, that kind of cut into the opportunity.
You know, so there is a lot of question marks when it comes to the Patriots secondary and how that's going to look for this game. Makes it interesting, I think. You know,
and the Colts will certainly challenge it. I mean,
I would.
I mean, that's what they do. I think Luck is like fifth in the league in attempts. They throw the ball.
Yeah, the thing that
they like to go vertical.
The thing
too.
That complicates it for the Colts a little bit is they're in the race. They can't afford to just go in there and say the hell with it. Let's just, you know, we got nothing to lose. They do have something to lose here.
Yeah, but they have to try to win the game, and you know you need to score. I mean,
no,
they've
no,
only
I
scored
know,
30
no,
points
I know.
Once this year.
But
they're probably going to have to score 30 points to win this football game.
I don't think they're going to throw caution to the wind and.
No, but my point is that's kind of what they do.
Yeah, that's kind of how they
play. They have a rookie quarterback, and yet he's fifth in the league in attempts.
Yeah, but as you get closer to the playoffs and realize that I've got a shot at this,
plus
coaches tend to
then you tighten
up,
you turtle, and you go
bit.
Home.
Yeah.
Well, that's not going to happen on Sunday. They're not going to. You mean they're going to run the ball?
I think they'll look at what the Patriots are trying to give them, you know, and if that means, you know, if the Patriots come out with a smaller look and. The run looks like it. I think they might try to run the ball.
Any team who doesn't think it can throw against the Patriots shouldn't be in the NFL.
Right. I mean, you have to look at your game plan and look at the team you're playing and do what's best, you know, on that particular day. And I think that they can actually look at this game, you know, sort of as a freebie. I mean, no one expects them to win the game. Why wouldn't you go in, throw caution to the wind? They have a pretty easy schedule. This is one of the games they're not supposed to win. Go out there and empty the tank.
They're not supposed to win any of these games.
No,
right?
But the issue is
there's no reason why they couldn't win a game at home against Cleveland.
Your strength matches up with the Patriots' weakness. I don't know why you would change.
Absolutely.
We've seen it before when, you know.
When passing teams have decided to run against the Patriots?
Coaching, you get close to the playoffs and coaches get conservative.
But
we've seen it all the time.
Yeah, but I think it's like Marty Schottenheimer would do that. A guy who wants to run the football.
But also a guy who has a veteran team who he thinks he this. The Colts are a total unknown from their head coach to their quarterback to this entire season. They have nothing to lose. They have no reason to tighten up and turtle. And more importantly for me, their strength matches the Patriots' weakness. So I don't know why you would do anything other than come out throwing.
All right. No, I agree. I would do it. I would come out throw.
I mean, yeah. Reggie Wayne having a great year. T.Y. Hilton can challenge you.
Donnie Avery.
I don't know why I like to say T.Y.
pretty fast guy. Or you could call him Ty, as they called him on the radio.
Got to start Avery this week in fantasy.
Oh boy.
What does TY stand for?
He's good for at least, you know, 250-yard catches.
Don't know.
I don't know. Look it up.
Theodore Young.
Hilton. You think that's not it?
I just like that you go Theodore Young.
The strippers will have it momentarily.
All right, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio at pages.com is the email address. I know at some point today we're going to have to talk about the article that Andy called in an email the greatest story ever written, which is the Daily News story about Tebow. I guess there's some of the players in the Jets that came out and said, you know, this guy's terrible. There's no way that we could start him even as bad as Sanchez is playing. I just think that, first of all, why bother saying that? I don't understand why they have to do that to the kid. And second,
the kid.
Well, I don't care who they're saying it about. They shouldn't be doing
right.
that about
and
a teammate.
And more so, I just blame the Jets for bringing this situation upon themselves. There was just no reason to do that. Just dumb personnel move by the Jets to do this.
But it's working. They're on the back page every day.
I just put this all on Rex Ryan and Mike Tannenbaum for doing this.
There were a lot of people that said
it
was the owner.
I put it all on Woody Johnson. Whoever did it. I don't put any of it on Rex Ryan. I might be a Rex Ryan apologist, but I don't think there's any way in this world that he was in favor of this move.
Yeah.
I just don't see.
Yeah, and I don't blame him for not being in favor. It was just a dumb move.
I mean, maybe Tannenbaum doesn't deserve to be taken off the hook.
Who's like Tom Brady and, you know, okay, that's one thing. You're obviously going to bring in Tebow to use him in some other way. But to do it on a team with a quarterback in such thin ice, it's just stupid. It just adds to the problems. And now they're reaping what they've sown. And it's just stupid.
I just like how they cleaned up their locker room after all the problems last year.
Yeah.
You know, Santonio Holmes isn't a captain anymore, so everything's okay.
Right. I mean, is this his fault, too? I mean, right. I'm not saying he's not a bad guy. I think he absolutely is. I think he's a jerk. But, you know, he's certainly
not
part
of this. And it's not just the locker room, by the way. There was also team personnel,
right.
front office.
Right.
I mean, this wasn't just – the only guy I really have a lot of respect for is Slauson.
Yeah,
because he put his name next to it.
I didn't read the story. I heard the people talking about it on the radio.
I love how everybody on a team like that starts to absolve themselves. You know, look at the cast of characters that he has to throw to. It's
set a decision
ridiculous.
Maker. Then make some better decisions.
Right, exactly. You know, everyone starts to separate themselves from the sinking ship.
Mm-hmm.
You cause some of the holes.
But
you know what?
Like, I think that the Tebow thing was a bad idea, because I don't think Tebow can play, as you know. But how much has that hurt him? Like, I mean, if Sanchez, you know, isn't this all about Sanchez and all about the injuries and
well,
all about the lack of weapons? It's all about the talent. I mean,
your backup quarterback isn't an option.
Right.
You don't have somebody to turn to.
Well, didn't Slauson say that Greg would be the number two? Why don't they turn to him?
McElroy, because
he
blows. Too.
I think he does.
And he's
too.
Really their number three. He's been their number three.
I think he blows too, but. If you're looking for an option to play, if you decided finally that Sanchez isn't the guy, then you have to make a move.
Right, but
in other words,
your
backup
quarterback is not an NFL caliber quarterback, and neither is your three.
I don't think they're losing. In other words, because of the circus that has been created.
Ray Lucas is dead. Major drug problems.
Oh, I know.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, my larger point is I don't think they're losing because of the circus that Tim Tebow created.
No, but they don't have an option.
No, I don't think so either. But I just don't think, you know. Why bring, you know, only the amount of good things that could have happened by bringing Tebow was so outweighed by the amount of bad things that could have happened. It was
a
bad move.
I mean, if Sanchez had a really, really, let's say he had a breakout year and he just all of a sudden, you know what, this is the fifth pick of the draft. This is the guy. Here he is. He's going to complete 65% and throw for 4,000 yards and 30 touchdowns. He's our guy. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to mix in a package of Tim Tebow
right. In
the red zone, and he's going to be great at that. What are the chances that was going to happen?
Yeah.
Because that's the only way it could have worked.
Yeah.
Is if everything came up roses for the New York Jets.
Mm-hmm.
They're not good enough for that. And, you know, you get some injuries and stuff like they had with Revis and Holmes, two very important guys. This is what you get. This is what happens.
All right. Anything else before we get to the phone calls?
Let me see.
No? Okay. Well, the Brandon Spikes thing, they're still talking about that.
Who's they?
Fitzpatrick was on NFL.com today.
Stevie Johnson was on yesterday.
Yes. And you know, still talking about what he did after he hit Fred Jackson, and Tashar Choi says he'll get his, you know. So, and, you know, but I think you said it right, Andy. He's a punk, but he's our punk, and every team, you know, either has one or probably should have that guy that has that edge, you know, that's out there patrolling the middle, the Brian Cox type of guy. Every once in a while, he makes a play that kind of sparks your team. And it's good to have him.
Yeah, I have no – I mean, I said to you upstairs –
and if he was on the other team, I'd hate him.
Yes, you know? No question. You would. Yep. And he would piss you off, and he would do right. little things. And I said to you, though, he made me laugh after the forced fumble on Fred Jackson that got him in trouble. He was doing his post-play Brandon Spike dance while everybody else was fighting for the fumble. He's just – he's in his own little world sometimes on the football field, for better and worse.
And a little preview, you'll be interviewing him one-on-one for the PFW show.
That's the plan.
Okay. Paul's not sure about that. It might – it's planned to do that.
That's the plan.
Things happen, you know.
Things happen.
Conditions on the ground change, and so we have to adapt. But yes. Right now he's scheduled.
That is correct.
So that's good. That'll be fun.
Yes. I actually hope he does it in his helmet with the black shield. I love that. I think it looks good. It's like you're interviewing a superhero, I said, in training camp. I mean, it's just weird but cool.
All right. Let's get to the phones because they're calling in here. Jordan's in Clearwater, Florida. Hey, Jordan.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Thanks for having me on the show. Happy hump day.
Yeah.
Right back at you.
You know, good old hump day. That means two things. One, Andy's mind's probably wandering off right about now. But
I love humping.
More importantly, we get to turn the page on that horrible performance last weekend. But before we do, I had a couple points that I was hoping to get your opinions on besides the defense. I mean, we've been harping on that for the entire season, it seems like. But unfortunately this weekend they didn't have the game on local TV down here in the Clearwater Tampa Bay area, so I had to head over to the local watering hole to watch the game, which you don't always have to twist my wrist to get there, so wasn't too bad. But unfortunately they don't have the sound on, and I remember thinking to myself, I'm sitting there watching the game, and you know, in between flagging down the bartender, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, God, these guys are getting real lucky on some of these pass interference calls. And by lucky, I mean lucky that they were called. Because it seems to me if it wasn't for a few of them, it could have stopped them dead in their tracks, and they might have left points on the board, and certainly could have not even ended up putting any points, especially in the end zone. But and I had a couple examples, and I just wanted to see it. Fortunately, I got home from work last night, and I saw on NFL Network they had the replay going, so I was happy for that. But I sat down and got to watch it with sound and the replays and the different angles and all that, and I was even more concerned after watching it over because, you know, some of those calls just shouldn't even have happened, in my opinion. Right? They were real lucky. I mean, the first one I came up with was back in the first quarter. I think there was, like, somewhere around like 4.5 minutes to go. It was like 2nd and 5. They're on their own inside the 10, somewhere like the 9-yard line or something. He throws an incomplete to Gronk over in the corner, and it wasn't anywhere near him. And I thought that was a terrible pass interference call. I don't think it was pass interference at all. And not only that, but it wasn't anywhere near Gronk. So that would have brought up a 3rd and 5 instead of a 1st and goal even closer. And, you know, we all know, in the red zone and 3rd down conversions, they haven't been the best. So, you know, maybe a little bit of a speculation, but certainly wouldn't have been as easy in an opportunity if the refs had gotten that call right. Or,
right.
You know,
so Jordan, your point is that there were a lot of calls that were given to the Patriots in that first half that, you know, would have really changed the complexion of the game had they not been called.
True.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, there's no doubt about it. I mean, I don't know what would have happened as a result of that, the whole butterfly effect.
But isn't that part of doing business in the NFL is we know if you throw the ball a lot, you're going to get a chance to get those calls.
I was actually
like it or hate it.
I was just going to say, in general, you see every week there's a handful of those calls. I mean,
and it happens against the Patriots defense, too.
Next week it could be the opposite. It could be, those all could be going on Reggie Wayne and Andy's buddy Theodore Young Hilton.
Right.
You know, all of a sudden they get a couple of cheap plays, and the Patriots benefited this week. Maybe they won't benefit next week. You know, so.
His first name is Eugene, listen, by the way.
I'm the guy.
What's that?
Eugene is his first name, but it doesn't say why. It's T-Y. Oh.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always criticizing the officials. I think that, you know, there's a lot of bad calls, but I don't necessarily think they're bad calls for one team or the other in terms of, you know, conspiracies or anything like that. I think that sometimes the games are impacted by bad calls, and I think before the one in the end zone, there was one on that drive when they went deep to Edelman, and that was a third down. Those are big.
Yeah.
You know, third down stops, you don't get them very often. So when you get a kind of a ticky-tack penalty on a third down stop, those are big.
But don't you think
– although I did see Robert Kraft hand something to one of the refs before the game.
I'm trying to be serious. Like
but don't you think part of the problem with that is you might not get those in the postseason? If you're going to be,
that's true.
You know, that changes a little bit.
Don't depend on that in the postseason.
And you can't.
We know that the other teams won't necessarily have to depend on it because the Patriots' pass defense isn't very good. No, I'm being serious.
It was just funny the way
you
said
if
it.
I'm not saying that they get by on bad calls.
You know who's given up more passing yards than the Patriots?
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
And the New York Giants.
And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And that one makes me wonder even more why they would just say, get rid of Talib.
But and the New York Giants.
Like 40 yards more per game.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for the call, Jordan. Paul's in California.
Just so you know, there's panic in the streets in New York. You're saying the New York Giants, like we don't have anything to worry about. They're like ready to like commit suicide.
Well, I know.
For the Giants, because this is another one of those Novembers where they can't win any games.
Paul,
but he's saying it like that should make you feel better.
Paul, what's going on?
Hey guys, I just want to start off by saying I love the show. I think it's a great show.
Thank you.
I don't want to be like a dead horse, but you guys had a conversation.
Oh, you beat a dead cell phone.
Let's see if we can get him in a better cell.
Are you in Silicon Valley?
Stand on a mountain.
No, I'm in the valley, but I'm in Bakersfield.
Okay, try it one more time, and if not, you're going to have to call back because we got a bad cell, I think.
Okay.
Conversation we were having about a week and a half ago.
Yeah. Tom Brady being on the decline.
Oh, okay.
Right.
And I just wanted to say that me and my brother were kind of going back and forth, and I was more on Paul's side originally, but he made a good point about comparing his 07 season to, like, now, when he's never going to have a season like that. You know what I mean? He's never going to – hardly anybody's ever going to have a season like that.
Right.
And I feel like – and I think Fred's point to say that he's playing as good as he ever has, I think it's more about, like, if you take his overall over the past 10, 11 years, if you take his average, he's going to average about around 30 to 35 touchdowns, maybe 10, 12 interceptions. That's what Fred means by saying.
Yeah, I wasn't necessarily talking anything statistical, but those are good points. I hear what you're saying. To compare him to 07 is not fair because that was an historic season. That's very legitimate. I agree.
Right.
It was also his best season.
Yeah, but if that season happened in his first year as a quarterback, is every season not as good?
But we don't have to get into it. But I'm just saying, like on Sunday, I thought that he had a lot of passes that were nearly intercepted. I thought the play of the game, he threw it straight into the ground. These are plays that I didn't see Tom Brady make for the most part over the last 10 years.
See, I disagree. Right.
I know you do, but that's fine.
You're negative. Brady's been making a lot of mistakes.
We don't have to get back into it. I just
don't have revisionist history.
No, but you look up at the end.
No, you have no idea what happened in history.
What I'm trying to tell you is you look up at the end of the day and you see two touchdowns, no interceptions, and you say, numbers, you know, he's going to end up with 30, 35 touchdown passes. I know. And I thought he used to do that while playing near flawlessly. Now, not so much.
Yeah. He never played near flawlessly. I think, you know.
He's been bad for years.
A year he threw four interceptions. He wasn't near flawless.
Like I said, I can remember many games where we all said, wow, he just doesn't look sharp right now. And then he got it together. You know, as the game progressed.
And I think that we say that more often now than we used to then.
We've always said.
And from longer periods during the course of the game
than
we used
said
to
it.
Them. And more importantly, in the fourth quarter of games when we never used
during
to say
the
it
heyday,
then.
During the heyday, he wasn't asked to do throughout games what he's being asked to do the last few years because of the defense.
Right, but when he was asked to do it with the game on the line in the fourth quarter, he always came through. Not so much anymore.
Oh, boy. It's okay, well, I'm, you know. Woe is us. Maybe we should get Mark Sanchez.
See, it always gets back to sarcasm. What it else, always Paul? Gets back to sarcasm.
It's just unbelievable. Go ahead, Paul.
One more point? Okay. Yeah. And then my second thing I want to talk about was, I know, you know.
That's a good point. I see what you're doing there.
But I feel like, you know, they say there's a clock in the quarterback, head about, okay, I got, one 1,002, I need to throw it.
Right.
Well, I feel like as a cornerback, I feel like you kind of have the same type of thing going on, especially you're guarding a receiver. He makes one cut. He makes two cuts. What are the chances he's going to make a third cut?
Yeah, but you don't know if you don't know what's going on behind you, it's tough.
Don't ask Tavon Wilson.
You know, because if you got a quarterback who's out of the pocket running around, you don't know what's going on. So it's such a tough position, cornerback. It might be the toughest position.
It is. There's no doubt in my mind.
On the field.
Physically, it's the toughest position on the football field.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
All right. Thanks, Paul.
Do you think Tavon Wilson said, against the Rams, there's no way he's going to fake the post and then go out and come back in again?
Speaking of Paul and
California. By the way, that clock going off in a quarterback's head, how come Brady's goes off all the time now?
Speaking of Paul in California, I saw that commercial.
A Vietnam veteran back then.
Paulie in L.A., that's a great commercial. And so I'd like if, Paulie, if you're listening, send us your 8x10 glossy that you use.
Put it next to Mary McCormick.
Yeah, I want
to
put in. And I'm sure that we have a lot of other celebrities that listen that don't call in email. If we have any other celebrities that listen, like Matt Damon, I know that you listen. Send us your, 8x10. I'd like to start putting those on the wall, all the celebrities that listen to PFW in Progress.
So I'd like to have his, from the commercial. I'd like a screen capture from him in the commercial.
He's coming out
and
with Harbaugh.
And then sign that, because, just his shot. I don't know if people would know. Hey, that's that guy from that NFL commercial with Harbaugh. It'd be good if we could get him to sign
the
actual.
So this is a call out to all the celebrity listeners.
I forgot what I was going to say.
Bethel Johnson's following me on Twitter now. Just randomly yesterday started following me.
Wow.
That's very bizarre.
He runs a ministry athletic thing.
With Billy Yates?
I don't know. Spiritual bra?
Yeah.
312 Athletic Ministries?
I think it's 312 is what, Minnesota? Where is that?
Oh, I assumed it was Texas because where he's from, but maybe that's a bold assumption.
Okay. Be 312, right?
I don't know what that means.
Isn't it 316? The
316.
Well, that's Austin.
312, I think, is shut out the lights when you leave a room. Is that what that one is?
What are you talking about?
I don't know.
You know what? He started so high with that. Who was the guy that you and I bumped into at the Super Bowl last year, the former Patriot wide receiver, that was doing some different things now? Do you know what I'm talking about?
PK Sam?
PK Sam. See, if we just could, we could combine this for the greater good.
There's another
PK Sam.
Right?
Philip Kenwood.
Jeff in Vegas is on the line. Hey, Jeff.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Tremendous, even though you're not buying lunch this week.
Yeah, if there's any silver lining, it is that. Normally I'm critical of Chris with a TIAN, but yesterday I was just listening to the show as I was hiking this morning. He had a fantastic call about being at wit's end with this defense, and I squarely fall into that category.
Why are you sucking up to other callers? What's the opposite of caller on caller crime? Like love? Incestuous
now,
caller love?
Jeff, when are you going to jump on Andy and I's bandwagon and just start taking the over of Patriots games?
Yeah, it's like 54 this week.
Did you feel that way after the Rams game?
This might be the week.
Were you that upset with the defense after the Rams game, or did you think they were turning the corner?
I thought they were turning the corner.
Right.
Now, Fred, did you think they were turning the corner, or did you think that was a one-week blip?
I just thought it was a one-week blip.
I know you did. That's why I set you up.
Yeah.
I thought they were turning the corner, actually. I'll be honest.
Yeah.
I felt good about some of the things they had done up front with those different pressures and games and things.
There were elements that I liked.
Against an elite passer like Sam Bradford.
That's funnier than Matt Damon listening to the show.
And Andy was making the point yesterday that Andrew Luck's statistics aren't necessarily that stellar, but I've watched every game at the book every week, and he is making plays under pressure, and he's putting the ball right where it needs to be. He's been very accurate, running for his life. He's made a lot of plays.
57% of the time, yes.
But I think that you look at some of those plays that he's made, and they're not
as long
easy.
As it didn't come in the third quarter.
They're not easy.
I mean, the
throws.
Fourth corner or on third down.
Thank
he
you,
sucks
Paul.
At those
can
too.
You, Paul?
I'm with you, Jeff. I
you're right. He's the
not,
second coming. Of,
not
he's actually
throws.
A combination, I think, of Brady Manning, Montana, mix in a little right. Elway, little Unitas.
So Andy is giving, looking at the stats, I'm giving it the eyeball test, having watched every play that he's
oh, no, you haven't.
Season.
You have not watched
have.
Every play
He's
of every Colts team.
He's
no, you
book.
Haven't. You're so
He's
full of it. I'm calling you
book.
Out today.
He's
you have
book.
Not watched. Even if you're at the book,
him and Greg
you
Bedard,
don't see every play. You're, there is, you're telling me the Colts haven't played at the same time as the Patriots this year,
Maybe
and you're watching the Colts?
Maybe he has game right.
You're full of it. Go hike a mountain.
Go hike a mountain.
I was talking to a kid from like Israel, like about the NFL. He's like, I would like the game, but there's so many commercials and breaks. He's like, it's unwatchable. That's
right. I'd rather watch soccer. There's no commercials in those. There's also no action.
The point is, Andy, you can watch like.
Thanks, Jeff. You've wound Andy up.
On side by side and see every play.
You haven't. You're lying.
Next topic. New England.
Next topic. Next topic.
Oh, Max, whatever the guy's name is. New England is -9. Oh, my goodness. I gotta love Indy next week.
Oh,
and
oh,
the
I
total
don't.
54, I'm converted, man. I'm going over. I can't go under.
Another week
again.
Without lunch, Andy.
That's what it is.
Another week without lunch
from Jeff.
Another split for Jeff.
I'm sorry about that. I might dabble a little on the Colt money line, just probably about like +600 or +700. So probably
like a quarter point,
50 at least. Yeah. So
maybe I'll buy a quarter point. You know, maybe I'll buy a quarter point, a unit. Maybe I'll put a quarter unit.
I love it, guys. If it went out right, I'll do 2 weeks worth. Lock it in.
Okay.
Lock it in. Talk to you Sunday.
Well, the good news is he'll actually get to see the Patriots play this week because while watching every play of the Colts game, it'll be against the Patriots.
But you can with Game Rewind. You can't see every play.
There is no freaking way he's watched 9 full games of the Colts. I'm calling BS.
You are
the man
Rich
has made
Perillo.
His entire career here at PFW Radio on BS, and this is just the height of it.
All right, time for a break. It's 12:37. A lot of emails coming in. We'll get to them right after this.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time. 2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012 Bank of America Corporation.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
From the photos, Andy was telling me.
About no. Unlike the rest of the world, I didn't clamor to go see Brett Favre's junk when it was available online. I still have not seen his junk, just like I haven't seen Greg Oden's. I don't seek out male penises.
See?
Unlike some men in this world.
Couldn't agree with him more. I've never seen one of those photos.
But I like breasts. But they said Jen Sterger photos available, see why Favre was after her online. I'd be dialing it up
tonight.
Matter
of fact, I have done that.
I like breasts. I'm passionate about breasts.
I think that's really funny, though. Why would you ever do like a Google search on Greg Oden's junk?
Right.
Did you see Brett Favre's?
Yes.
Did you see Brandon Spikes?
Yes.
I don't get that. I don't know why you would want to see
just
that.
Watching it.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. Can you hear me? Oh, now you can. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Another oldie but goodie, by the way. Yeah. I can never get tired of listening to you go, yes. Yes. And then Andy screaming in the back, I'm passionate about breasts. Wow.
Andrew writes in at webradio@patriots.com. He's in Toronto. He says, I sent you guys a tweet on the weekend saying I've resubscribed and keep up the good work. Unfortunately, I only resubscribe for one more year. Don't worry. I may be moving out in the next year, and then I'll be signing on for a full 3 years or however long I can after that. Your show rocks. Fred is the perfect homer who will always defend the team. Paul is a perfect blend of common sense and team loyalty. And Andy, no matter how ugly it is, always says it like tells it like it is. Together, the ridiculous debates, arguments you guys get into, leaving me laughing my butt off during work. On to my question. I know Paul and Andy aren't huge fans, but Woodhead has been having a good year. Yeah. What are the odds?
Absolutely.
Yes, because he's finally in the role
he should be. He's in the role that we
couple
want him
couple touches
in.
Here, couple yep. touches there.
What are the I odds? Agree with you. He's had a terrific season.
What
I
are
agree.
The odds they keep him on, as well as Ridley, Vereen, Bolden, and Demps? Does this team have room for five running backs? I, for one, have been frustrated with Woodhead's production at times, but he has a lot of heart and seems like a great guy.
Yes, they have room for him if they want to.
And they've had five guys before.
Five backs, five tight ends. Sure. You know, if you go a little heavier in one spot, Paul, you got to go a little lighter somewhere else.
That's the way
plus,
it works.
You know, is Demps a running back or is Demps just a right. kick returner? Or is Demps even an option?
Well, I was just going to ask you, what do you think the odds are right now, sight unseen, of Jeff Demps being on the Patriots next year?
Good. 68%.
Yeah, I'd say better than, yeah.
Probably no more than that.
Two-thirds. I wouldn't be stunned if he wasn't, but absolutely. I think he will be.
I'd say 69 to 70%.
Ooh. really upped the ante there. See what he did?
Fred is really cracking me up today.
Steven in Knoxville writes in, listening to the show yesterday gave me a whole new perspective on the defense. Before, I just thought it was a bad defense, but now I can see that it's part of a plan. Bear with me here. For this past week and the one coming up, the NFL is involved in its Salute to Service campaign, where they donate $100 to nonprofit military organizations for every point scored. We know that Bill Belichick is the best at everything and that he has great respect for the military, so it makes sense that he'd do whatever he could to get the most money donated. Makes sense.
I like it.
The first eight games of the season were a build-up to these Bills and Colts games. You can't just expect to give up a lot of points. It takes practice. And with a few exceptions, the team has practiced giving up a lot of points. This means we're ready to give up a lot of points when it really counts. Expect a lot of points from the Colts, and then we'll unleash the dominant defense we've been hiding all along. Fred, I hope you will latch on to this theory with me. Or we could just count on Tlaib. I hear he picks off passes while walking on water. Keep up the great work. That was sarcastic.
No.
So, Paul's tweeting.
No, I'm not.
He's just ignoring you.
Mike in D.C., Freddie, Paul, Andy, thanks for your hard work. I would also say something positive for Eric, but he's never around. I have a question in request. Question, our secondary sucks. Sounds like a statement to me. the Pats have wasted so
Were
many.
Were you supposed to read it like Ron Burgundy?
Our secondary
sucks. The Pats have wasted so many draft picks on rejects like Wheatley, Butler, Hobbs, Wilhite, Merriweather, Chung. McCurdy is
Hobbs
pretty...
is one that doesn't get thrown in that mix enough.
Oh, I don't think he was a waste like the others.
Oh, I do.
He started for three or four years for this team. He was a very, very good kick returner.
Yeah.
He doesn't get thrown. Well, he's a good kick returner.
I mean, that's like saying Bethel Johnson and Chad Jackson were the same kind of bust. They weren't. Chad Jackson was a much bigger bust. He never did poop.
McCurdy is pretty much a bust, and Wilson is at best a work in progress. It seems to me that the team has failed to properly evaluate skilled players for a really long time. For every hit, Samuel, Welker, Branch, there are loads of misses. Is there something to that? What skills are the Patriots scouts missing? What should they be looking for
coverage.
When evaluating skilled players outside of running backs and quarterbacks? I wonder, too, if other teams have similar talent evaluation problems. Request, I want to put together an intro for the show, but I can't find any clean audio clips of voiceovers. Can you have Kevin get off his ass and send those to me? Wow.
Absolutely not.
There Whoa. You go.
That's he got what, off his ass to Whoa. Stand up to say that.
That's what you get, Mike, for making fun of him. I think every team, it's an inexact science, and I think the Patriots have as good a record as any other team.
And cornerbacks have been tough in recent years. Yes.
That's my favorite Fredism.
What?
Anytime there's an element of the Patriots organization that's not good, everybody else is equally not good at that particular element.
Well, we must be.
You know where they've
doing
failed
something right.
They haven't found a hidden gem. You know, like a random guy that just was good in the secondary. Like, you know, Richard
right.
Sherman, a
right.
converted wide receiver, or some guy from Canada, just to use the Seahawks yep. as an example. Like. They've blown their early ones, but if you blow those and hit something else, okay, well, now they've just never cultivated one in any way.
Like, you could actually use...
Like Samuel.
I was going to say, you could use Eugene Wilson and Asante Samuel. Wilson was the highly touted
right.
prospect, the second-round guy, the corner, safety, versatility. And he was good initially, but not as good as Samuel, who
mm-hmm.
was the fourth-round pick and
right.
sort of Central Florida, that kind of guy that
right.
you developed.
That's where you've doubled up. You haven't gotten the hit, and you haven't gotten the find.
But they
haven't been. If
they
you look back 3-4 years, there's not a ton of where you say that's the guy they should have taken in the second round.
When they got Wilson, wasn't the story that they were at Illinois for another reason, and he was a year away, and they caught their eye, and they kept watching him over his last season. And
well, yeah, he declined, and they liked what they had seen earlier
right.
enough to
yeah.
warrant it.
Mike in sunny Florida. I had to write in to praise Big Head for the first
right.
time ever. I love the fact that you guys have basically banned political talk. However, I loved Andy's statement on cynicism yesterday. I think if more people thought like that, the world would be a better place. To me, it is disgusting how much faith people put in politicians instead of looking to themselves and their families for help, support, and success. I was in the political world for a while, and you would never believe how little they care about anything but your vote.
Right.
And all they do is lie, cheat, and steal for it.
Yep.
P.S. Any NFL defensive coordinator that had a bottom five defense for 3 to 4 years would be fired. No one can tell me that as a group, our defensive players are among the least talented in the league. I believe it is the scheme and coaching.
Well, I was actually thinking about that last week when the whole Jerry Jones, if your GM wasn't named Jerry Jones, would you have fired him already? I was thinking someone could ask Bill Belichick some way to ask Bill basically would he fire himself. No one will ever do it around here. No way. No one would do it anywhere. Bob Costas wouldn't do it to Bill Belichick. But, I mean, that's the interesting question. If we hold him accountable for the defense, should Bill Belichick have his defensive duties taken away from him? Or if you hold him accountable for just the personnel, is Bill Belichick the GM screwing Bill Belichick the head coach? But no one asks him that. They would ask him in New York. They'd ask him in Dallas. Right?
Well,
Why don't you ask him, Paul?
No, thanks.
You know, I wonder.
Got a few more years to go.
You know, there's something to be said about having so much talent on one side of the ball. Is it possible?
Yes, it is.
To do the same on the other side.
If you stop wasting second round picks.
Well, I don't know.
Why do you try to overthink it?
Well, I just don't know of any team in the NFL that is so solid on both sides of the ball.
But do you know
Houston
any team?
Texans.
How about the Houston Texans?
They have the offense the Patriots
have. They have arguably the best receiver in the NFL. They have arguably the best running back in the NFL. They have arguably a top 10 quarterback.
They have the offense the Patriots have.
No. I didn't say that, but you said, can you be very good on both sides of the ball at two of the three positions that, quote, stars in the league?
They have
a franchise tight end in Owen Daniels. They used a franchise tag on. Are you telling me they don't have talent on offense? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
No, I'm saying they're not as good as the Patriots. Are you telling me they are?
They're better than the Patriots.
On offense.
No, as a team.
On offense,
no,
I'm asking.
As a team.
Okay, that's my question.
Okay.
But wait a minute, are you telling me
they don't have talent on offense?
No, they do.
Okay, because they have all pros littered on their offense.
My question is it possible to be so high-powered on one side of the ball like the Patriots are and do the same on defense?
Yes.
I think it's hard in this
league.
I don't know any team that is.
I think away second-round picks is the reason it happens. Well, you've invested in it. It's not like you used all your first and second-round picks on offense and didn't have anything left.
Have they had no good draft picks?
No, but they've wasted a ton of defensive draft picks.
But they've also had some good picks.
Right.
You know, so I'm just saying it's hard.
But you're acting like it's impossible. If you didn't miss all those picks, you'd be better on defense.
Oh, obviously, you could be.
Nothing kept you from making your defense better except your own evaluations.
You could hit on all your picks and obviously do what you say, but no team does that and never has.
You think a lot of teams miss as many as they have in the second round? And by the way, you've chosen to pick in the second round more often than not. It's your plan. You suck in the second round and you've decided, I want to pick in that round more often than any other.
You're not going to get an argument from me that they've missed on picks.
That's all that's kept you from being good. Nothing else.
Impossible to be good on both sides.
Every team from being great is missing on
picks.
No,
that is not true. They've managed their cap financially.
If every team hit on all their picks, they'd be great. But no team does.
Right.
No team does that.
Right. But Houston has done it. But Houston has built an offense and a defense, correct?
Do you think
has Houston built an offense and a defense?
And so far, what has it got them?
Nothing.
Okay.
What has it gotten you? Nothing.
What has it got the Patriots?
Nothing.
Oh, come on.
Okay, I'm just asking.
Because
I don't know, you lost your quarterback. You lost your quarterback and you didn't make the playoffs. They lost theirs and they won a playoff game with a jag out of NC.
Yeah, but in your
they weren't a good team last year, Paul.
In your mind, though.
They weren't a good team. They couldn't have won a Super Bowl last year.
Whoa. In your mind, that means nothing because they didn't win the Super Bowl. You've said that before about the Patriots.
No question.
So say it the same about them.
I am.
Okay, be consistent.
You asked me what they've won. No. Time out. You asked me what they'd won and what did I say? What did I say?
Nothing.
Thank you.
Right.
So don't tell me I wasn't consistent.
So all this.
Don't pretend I wasn't consistent.
So putting this great team together. What?
But I also said with their backup quarterback, actually their third string, which one ups you, they went to the postseason and won a postseason game.
Yeah.
You like to throw in my face with Matt Castle. This team's so balanced. This team's so deep. They won 11 football games and they were like the eighth best team in the conference that year.
Seven.
So. You can't have it both ways.
No, well,
either we're going to compare when you lose your quarterback.
Which argument are you taking?
Which argument are you taking?
It means something.
All I know is you asked me, did they win anything? And I said no. And you said, no, you got to be fair.
Right.
It's like you didn't even listen to the answer that came out of my mouth.
Right. So why
you don't listen?
So why are you bringing up that argument if it means
because
something?
You don't listen?
Okay. Because you take both sides of the
argument. No, I didn't actually. You said what have they won? And I said nothing.
It means something when the.
And by the way, do they have as good a coach?
It means,
do they have as good a coach?
It means something.
Do they have as good a coach?
No.
Thank you.
Well, that means that's
a factor.
That's part of being a good team.
That's a factor, though.
But if it doesn't,
has nothing to do with talent. You said you can't build offense and defense.
That's
I said Houston.
I would take
you said, well, what if they won?
Look,
you took your usual Patriots stance, and I asked you, well, what if the Patriots won?
You can just keep talking.
Since they've had this dominant offense that keeps them from having a defense,
I asked you.
You can't possibly be good at both.
I asked you. Is the Houston Texans offense as good as the Patriots? Your answer was no.
Right.
Okay. It's not as high powered as the Patriots. And my simple.
Do you want to compare the defenses?
My simple question.
If we're going to start comparing teams.
What do you think is closer?
Will you just let me talk for a second? My simple question was, I think it's really hard, or is it possible to have one side of the ball, whether any team, to be so high powered as the Patriots offense and be able to, you know, build the other side
and
as
I said
good?
Yes.
No team has done it. It's really hard to have
that
many
players.
In individual seasons, you don't think teams have done that?
You know, to have both sides of
the, be very good. I don't care about that. I don't care what they're ranked.
Before the cap, absolutely.
Oh, stop it.
Well, since then, who did it, Paul?
How do teams win Super Bowls?
Because they end up being the best.
Because they're pretty good on both sides of the ball, generally.
If the Patriots win the Super Bowl this year, it doesn't mean both sides of the ball were high-powered.
And it would also be an unbelievable anomaly because teams don't usually do this.
It's really hard to do.
I disagree with you.
To have high-powered on both sides of the ball. It's hard to do.
Listen,
give me an example.
I don't know what
high-powered
means. Exactly. This is a typical Fred. We're going to keep raising the bar until we get it. Now you have to be high-powered on both sides of the ball. So you have to be absolutely dominant on both sides of the ball. Yes, I agree with you. It's hard to do that.
That has never been done.
I don't ever remember anybody being the greatest team ever on both sides of the ball.
I'll give you the San Francisco 49ers back in the day. They had one of the top-ranked offenses, but people forget they also had one of the top-ranked
defense. Stunk and lived off their offense.
For a couple of those years,
they
had a good
revisionist
statistically, statistically, yes, they were great. But they weren't very good defense.
Okay, well, I mean, I don't know how to judge them if it's not by statistics back then.
Well, I mean, the Green Bay Packers, when they won the Super Bowl a couple years ago, were very good on both sides of the ball. I don't know if they were number one statistically, and I don't care. But they were very good on both sides of the ball.
And I would say that the Texans are very good on both sides of the ball. But
so it's not impossible to be good on both sides of the ball. But now you've established the fact that you have to be the best of all time on both sides of the ball.
When you invest a lot of money, like in Brady and Hernandez and Gronkowski and Welker, you know, in Mankins.
And in Mayo and Jones and Hightower and in Wheatley and Butler and Brace and Chung.
What money did they invest in Wheatley?
What money did they regret with Gronkowski and Hernandez until now? You drafted them.
Yeah,
just like if those other guys all panned out, you'd be paying them now, too.
There's a lot of money.
And you'd be able to be good on both sides of the ball.
There's a lot of money tied up in the offense. That's a fact.
No, it's not.
So there's not a lot of money tied up on the Texans' offense. I just want to be clear.
I don't know.
Okay.
Matt Schaub, Andre Johnson,
$80 million contract.
No,
we don't have
Arian Foster. Those
guys
don't make
any money. Their wide receiver makes practically as much as our quarterback does.
Yeah. Well, you know, I just think that, you know, now all of a sudden
you
the Texans
hit,
are so much better.
No one's saying. See, this is again. I'm not going to let you.
I'm saying the Texans are better. I said the Texans were better last year. Had they not lost Matt Schaub, I think the Texans would have gone to the Super Bowl last year.
But I'm not letting you move the line.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm not talking about this as a poster for the Houston Texans. We'll see if they can win. I think that they are a better football team right now than the Patriots. Yes, but that doesn't mean they're going to win. I'll reserve judgment.
Right.
You sit there and say, what if they won? They're year two into what they've tried to develop. Year two. They went out and got Wade Phillips last year, went out and signed Jonathan Joseph, and they became a top three defense. They're year two into their program, and you're complaining, what have they won?
Right, so they just started.
Year one, they were the best team in the conference and lost their quarterback and stumbled into the playoffs with a third stringer and won a playoff game and damn near beat Baltimore at Baltimore the next week.
And
now this is year two, and where are they now? 9 weeks in at the top of the conference.
So what you're saying is that Texans have been better in the draft than the Patriots lately. You know what? I might agree with that.
No, but you're making these.
I mean, I agree with that.
But you're making these assertions that you can't be good on both sides of the ball. That's what you're saying.
No,
it's hard today to be good on both sides of the ball.
I said when you have one side of your ball that's so high powered, it's hard. To get the other side to get up to that level. It's
so then this gets back to a philosophical thing. They've screwed up building their team.
Because
that's what it would get back to for me.
How many times have I said that I agree that they have screwed up picking these defensive players?
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm saying if your theory is correct and it's impossible to be good on the other side of the ball while being high-powered on one,
I said it's really hard.
Then they have screwed up building this team. right?
Well,
I mean, signing a $50 million guard, signing an $80 million quarterback, signing two $50 million tight ends, having a franchise tag wide receiver at $10 million.
Sometimes when you do that, you sometimes sacrifice the other side. Yeah.
Well, then they screwed up.
See, I don't think you do.
Because if you're so bad on defense because of what you've done on offense,
yeah, but Paul,
then that was bad
Paul
planning.
Paul would argue that you can win with
that was bad planning.
That,
that was bad planning.
I know what he's trying to do to you. He's trying to paint you into a corner.
Right.
But I don't think that they've a poorly constructed team.
Exactly. I don't either.
I think that, and that's what I said. I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to paint them into a corner. I think that had they been a little bit better at acquiring defensive talent,
so your premise, Mr. Commissioner, is false.
This is why I'm
you
saying
can be
it's
good
not,
on defense
it's not
and
that
offense.
Hard. Yeah, it's not impossible to be good on both sides of the ball.
They wouldn't be that much better. They'd be much better on defense,
Fred.
But they to make that defense as good as this offense would have been, they'd have to hit on every pick.
I'm not
pick.
Asking you to make it as good as the offense.
That's what I'm saying. It's hard to do that.
I know, because you keep now, moving the line.
But
you keep raising the bar.
Should the defense be better? Absolutely. There's
all
no
I'm saying is
it.
Can you be good on both sides of the ball? I don't care about dominant.
Yes. You can be. You can
you
be.
You said you couldn't. You didn't say you couldn't. You said it's awfully hard.
To be as high-powered as...
Yeah, you keep changing with your adjectives.
No, that's what high-powered mean on defense.
I don't know. Because to me, the Houston Texans are as high-powered defensively as anybody. San Francisco is high-powered defensively.
Is their offense as high-powered as the Patriots? No. All right? Isn't.
Let me ask you this. What is closer?
We're comparing their bests and their worsts.
Houston's offense to the Patriots' offense or the Patriots' defense to Houston's defense?
Oh, absolutely.
What's closer?
It's absolutely closer. And I think that most people would want that balance in today's NFL. You'd want that balance. You'd rather have the offense a little bit less and have the defense a little bit better.
I don't need that to be any less. I just need the Patriots to have acquired a few. If that laundry list of second-round picks, some of them were still here contributing.
No, I agree
they didn't
with
need
that.
All of them. You immediately go to everybody misses the draft, but not all of them.
But let's say that some of those guys that they picked turned out to be really, really good. Chances are they wouldn't all be here now because they couldn't afford to
have
them here.
That's true. No, that's true. I'll give you that. Mario Williams was gone in Houston.
Right.
You have to make decisions. That's fine.
But why was Mario Williams gone in Houston?
Well, he wasn't playing to the level
they didn't want him.
But because they weren't willing to invest the market value.
They didn't
even
offer him anything. They weren't interested in taking him.
I think if they had known the market was $20 million, they would have probably pursued him. But they knew the market was going to be massive. And they said, he's not that good. He's not a $100 million player.
Right.
But
think we're saying the same
thing. Don't
you
want to have that problem?
Sure.
When have they had that problem? Very rarely.
But I'm just saying it's
and they've pretty much signed all the guys that they reached that point with.
They have done a good job at that. But I'm saying if they had been luckier and some of these guys that they picked in the second round turned out to be Pro Bowls, it would have been hard to carry everybody and keep such a high-powered offense.
But if you do it, they didn't blow all these second-round picks in 1 year, right? There were 2-3 years.
No, I know.
They're staggered.
Yeah.
So now you have the 4 years they're under contract plus the two. Now you've got a 6 year window of these picks, some combination of these picks. And by the way, I also get annoyed by the whole, it's Wheatley, it's Butler. It's Chung, it's Brace.
Well, that's
they're
what
not
I'm
as
saying.
Good as they're supposed to be. And
all
they're still
of those
here.
Second round picks.
So it's not just the easy low hanging fruit, the Wheatley.
Right.
The Wheatley.
No,
and
those
the
are the only
Butler.
Guys that you could definitively say didn't pan out.
Well, you know what? Ron Brace has done nothing here.
I know.
Chung has been, as we've seen,
I am not defending their drafting. I am not
but that's,
defending
no,
their
but
drafting.
No, but you
but
are a little bit by
have,
saying you can't be good on defense if you're so high powered on
that wouldn't be costing you any more money if, say, two or three of those 8 or 10 guys were still here contributing. It wouldn't be any more expensive. You'd have guys that were making their rookie contracts still. Patrick Chung is on a rookie contract. If he was playing like Deshaun Golson in San Francisco, he wouldn't be making any more money.
But you'd have
he'd still
to
be here.
It would be a decision.
He'd still be
here.
Well, let's make those decisions. Let's get to the point where we have to make a
decision. I hear you.
That's the only point I'm trying to make is you can decide what you want to do. You can decide who you want to keep. And I think that Houston Texans made an excellent call. Why on Mario Williams? Because Andy and I have talked about this on Sundays.
The right call.
It's not about Mario Williams. It's about J.J. Watt and Connor Barwin and Brooks Reed and now Whitney Mercer is starting to make some plays.
I think once guys are here, the Patriots do a pretty good job of.
I agree with
the new guys in that they're not doing.
I agree with you, Fred. I think they do a pretty good job of identifying who they need to keep.
Right.
I agree with you on that.
Unfortunately, they don't have to decide very often.
Right.
Because it's obvious the other way most times.
No. I mean, look.
But that's the unfortunate part of it.
Come on. We go over such a cliff with these guys. You know, look at all the guys that, you know, they've had to make decisions on whether to extend them because they have played well. You know, it's
like who?
Well, Hernandez and Mankins and Gronkowski and, you know, Mayo. And come on, the list goes on and on. Will Fork. Let's face it.
I like these.
What are we disagreeing about any of those?
We're not. I just like the era.
But he's like, I wish they had to make these decisions. They have to make this all the time, every year.
Oh, I don't think that those are the same kind of decisions. I'm talking about the guys, whether or not that you and recently, like, Mayo would be the only one that fits into that category. The other guys are all veterans.
And you also, well, that's the thing, like the eras, that's what I like, is the length. You know, is this a 12-year era of the Patriots, or is this a 5-year era?
No, as long as it's Brady and Belichick, it's still the same.
No, but it isn't.
To me,
it isn't.
But it's not the same
because
level
it became the high-powered offense in 07. So your argument couldn't have started until 07.
No, they transformed.
But that's my point. Yeah. Your argument that you can't be high-powered on offense and defense, to me, that era starts in 07 because they weren't high-powered before that on offense.
Okay.
They were a good offense.
And by the way,
they were a good defense. They were the Texans back then.
They were
high-powered. Where they could make plays both ways.
They were high-powered on offense in 07. And even though I didn't think the defense was great or anywhere near the level of offense, they had a lot of big money guys.
Yeah, it sucked. That was an aging group. That
no, it was, but they but there were a lot of big money guys is my point. So you can do it.
That was the start.
If you want.
The...
You can spend money on both sides of the ball.
But back
and
then,
be good.
No, really, you have to admit, back then they had Moss on a favorable contract.
Yeah, they didn't spend
Welker
a lot of money
on
offense.
That wasn't a lot of money on offense.
They had those two receivers right there.
They had Welker,
Welker
on
and Moss
contract.
Made probably $6 million that year combined, if that.
Compared to what now they're spending
on offense. I mean, now you're
offense.
$9.5 million on Welker. You're blowing $3 or $4 million a year on an outside receiver, whether it's named Johnson or Lloyd. You know, you're pissing money away to be high-powered on offense.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and they pissed a lot of money on trades that didn't work out, too, and bringing guys in. You
but
know.
Not as much there. That's more draft picks you lost for, like, on defense, you mean?
No, I'm just talking both sides of the ball.
Well, yeah, you pissed a lot away for Chad Johnson, money and picks.
Well, you know, guys like Haynesworth and, you know.
Yeah, that wasn't as much money. That was just
But it
trade.
Added up.
Sure.
You know.
But I just disagree with the basis. Yes, you cannot be absolutely elite at both, but
I mean,
you can
I
be very good at both and elite at
I'm
one.
I'm not suggesting that they should be the best team that's ever played football. I mean, that's asking a little bit too much. You know, I mean, we can
couple of these draft picks work out, they would be.
But if they were
in this league, they would be.
Yeah.
Because they'd be dominating
that's
this
right.
league if they could play defense.
That's
they
how
would be
close they are.
Absolutely dominating
that's
a terrible football
I don't think
league.
That's how close they
are. Yeah, but you think it's close. I don't. I don't think they've come close to stopping anybody for 5 years.
No, but what I'm
yeah,
saying
but if
is
Ron Brace was like a dominant defensive tackle, and if, you know, your pass you had
if a
pass rusher
of these
once
guys
that
worked
was elite,
out, they would be
you're not that far away in this day and age from being dominant on both sides of the ball because the league blows.
I just think that they need a lot of help. I am one of these guys that thinks it's personnel related on defense and not
oh me too
yeah
so but I, all I, my I, point is I think you get two or three hits and it
I
changes
agree.
Everything.
I mean, we had the emailer write in earlier today. He said he thinks it's scheme and coaching.
Yeah, a lot of
I
people
think
do.
It's personnel.
A lot of people do.
Yeah.
A lot of people think if Wade Phillips was coaching this defense, things would look different. A lot of people said, I heard someone
same
say this morning
that
about
used to dominate.
Rex Ryan.
I mean, would all of a sudden McCourty be turning his head? Would all of a sudden the communication be better?
The pass rush be better?
Maybe. I don't know. You know?
It wouldn't.
You know,
now, if he brings J.J. Watt with him and if he brings
Jonathan
I would like to see,
Joseph
it, it's
with
funny,
him.
It's funny because I don't.
It's my same argument for Eric Mangini or any of those guys. Well, do they get to bring Ty Law, Rodney Harrison, and Mike Vrabel in their primes with them?
It's a little
and
of everything.
Don't forget Richard Seymour. I was mentioning yesterday. When
no one forgot Seymour except you.
No,
when they traded
when
him, you forgot he
you
was
the
good.
Only one.
No, everybody else didn't.
When we start listing like why the defense in the past was much better and we talk about the players, people forget to list Richard Seymour. He was huge.
But
he was a difference maker.
But the thing right now is the defensive line is not the weakness of your team. If anything, it's
the
strength. And defensive tackle / whatever you want to make Seymour.
But he made that defense great, too.
He did, but I don't know that he'd make a huge difference right now.
Oh.
I don't.
Oh, I think. Cause
I think the secondary would still blow.
No, he would allow you to do things now that you're
not now.
Like what?
I think he's
No. Not even age-related.
No,
I'm just saying.
I'm talking about in his prime.
I just don't know how much better he is than
difference.
Kyle Love.
Oh, really?
At his best?
Come
no,
on.
He's better, but does
first
it change
all,
your whole defense?
Position. Yes.
Yeah, I don't
I think it does.
Think so.
I think it does. I think he's that much of a difference maker in his position.
You don't think when he was an all-pro, he was a marked
significantly better,
over Kyle
and
Love?
I don't think it would matter.
So you
this
put
team.
Him with Vince, playing at the level Vince has played at the last couple of years?
Great.
You don't think that would make you better?
Oh, better. Yes, better.
Oh, I think it'd
be
huge.
I don't think you'd suddenly be able to cover, and I don't think you'd get enough pressure up front, because neither guy is like this impact edge first two-step rusher.
Seymour's not a pass rusher.
You're still giving up all these completions, because unless they can get there in 2 seconds, it's not fast enough.
I don't know. I think he was so much of a presence.
It's nice to hear you say that, Fred. I really.
Well, it's far enough away now that honesty.
I'm really surprised.
I still would have traded him when they did for the first round pick. Now, who they pick with that first rounder is a whole different story. But
he's your stud left tackle.
You know,
right? I mean, you don't like Nate Solder now?
No, he's good. But I'm just saying that you know.
You would have traded up for Quinn. That's what you're saying.
You know, you didn't get a guy on defense to replace Richard Seymour.
Right.
You know.
But you
he
now
just
that
caught Fred not remembering who they took right, the first round pick. Because he's been excellent, Nate Solis.
Oh, Solis, yeah. And he's going to get better.
He can never just say with, like, he's excellent. That's not good enough. He's going to get better.
As good as he is, he's going to get better.
The glass is half full, and it's filling up.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is good.
It's good Fred and Andy yelling at each other. I like it.
Larry's in Miami. Hey, Larry.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey, Larry.
I think it was a lot. But so I have to agree with Andy. Sorry, Fred, but I don't have to agree with Andy because there's no way we could be elite on both sides of the ball at the same time. And I don't think in history, the thing is about us, we just have to have a decent defense. If we had something presentable, we can win Super Bowls.
And I think if they had been a little bit better in the draft, they would have a decent defense. They'd have.
Oh,
that.
Obviously.
That's
they've
how
wasted
close
enough
they
picks
are.
There.
That's how close they are.
Well, they and that's my point, though. In this league with this offense, now you're talking about going 14-2 every year, going to the Super Bowl, probably winning a couple, because the competition you're playing against,
Right.
Yeah, all you got to do is be a decent. I just put it like, I kind of it as, you know, the Bill Belichick trying to give kids, kids of the vegetables. You have to put it in a presentable way that the kid would eat it up. And the thing is, this is like time after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, he's just showing us just the broccoli and that's it. And we getting torched every time. And it just like, you can see it on his face. I've seen his game. And his face like, really, this is going on. It just like, it's sickening to my stomach is like every day that we have to deal with that secondary. And now I understand it's not only the secondary part, but mostly is on their part, and all we have to have is if we had a decent secondary, we'd have been all right. We'd have been, at least, we'd have, like, maybe two losses.
Can Aqib Talib make the secondary decent by himself?
No. I feel that's not going to, it's going to help. But it's not going to change. We're going to be number one defense, like right then and there.
No, but we just said you don't have to be number one in defense. You just have to be competitive. Oh, no. You have to be better. You know, to turn these games into 41-23 wins instead of 37-31 cross your fingers and your toes wins.
No, even with to lead the secondary, they're going to torch somebody else. If they're not going to go to the lead side, they're going to torch somebody else. They don't have to. And really, if we look at it, the statistics is that we really do bad against tight ends. Chandler always show up against us.
They always have.
Everybody has. That's going back 3, 4, 5 years, tight ends. Right. You know, Brett Favre to Keller, whoever it was back then for the Jets. I mean, that's been a consistent problem, and I don't know if that's scheme-related. Now, that may be scheme-related, but I also don't think that these linebackers are probably as good as people want to give them credit for as athletes and getting in the middle, but also the safety play. You know, they haven't had a good safety play.
I feel that, if we're going to put that product out there, if Chung, we already know he's a liability in coverage, whatever. We have him stay free, and then you have Tavon Wilson, he was a corner. Start playing the tight ends, see how that goes.
Yeah, I think they like to, hedge their bets, and I think Belichick's more conservative than a lot of people think, and they'd rather have that tight end in the middle of the field catch the ball than have something get over the top. And
this year they've done both.
Yeah, this year that's been different. But they like to keep things in front of them, and, the tight end's not going to outrun anybody, so they've given that cushion.
Yeah, if you give them that cushion, you go 10 yards, 10
yards.
Oh,
yeah, they're going to do it. Every quarterback in this league is going to hit that
pass. Stop them in the red zone, because back in the day, we stopped people in the red zone. We had one of the best red zone defense.
But we just got to get
nobody in the red zone.
We got to get rid of the whole back in the day thing, first of all, because as Rick Pitino said, those days are gone. Rodney Harrison not walking through that door. Teddy Bruschi not walking through that door. And if they did, they'd be old and on TV right now. They're no longer players. But the question is, where is the improvement that you need to see? How much? You know, Talib, what does, how much better? It's kind of what we argued with you. If he's better than Arrington, are you better? Or does he have to be better than McCourty? So McCourty's now your number two. Now teams challenge McCourty because they're afraid of Talib. Is that enough?
Right.
You know, where is that growth period? Is it, does Chung have to get back out there? Does Chung have to be better? Is Gregory just have to get, where is that growth that's enough to do what Paul said, to win those games 41-23, 41-26, instead of crossing your fingers,
the other team has the ball with a chance to win at the
right.
end.
Where is that? Because the old days are gone. Forget about the old days. No, you know, you're
what
not going
to
win
9-3.
What do you need to do to be good enough in this piss-poor league?
It's almost like you're starting all over. It's like the season starts on Sunday.
Yep.
Because you really have no idea what this defense is going to be like with him in it.
It's going to come down to Kraft and Bill Belichick to really sort this thing out. Because really, if you want to dish out money on the offensive side, we've done that because, you know, when we lost the Super Bowl in 2007, we didn't have no tight ends. We got tight ends now. We do all of that. Now it's that defensive play that we need to really, you know, to really count. We have to go spend money, you know what I'm saying? You're going to have to cut a couple of people because we have people stagnant on the roster that, you know what I'm saying, special teams, I understand, is an important part of the game, but it's not going to win you a Super Bowl.
So are you okay if they let Wes Welker go and reinvest that money on the defensive side of the ball? Say they sign a corner, one of these $50 million corners. I just want people to remember that when it happens.
Right, and I'm going to say right
can
now.
Can I reserve judgment?
I want to hold people to that.
Can I reserve judgment until I see who the player is?
Well, right. Obviously, but I'm just saying.
Like,
but
Jonathan can I tell you
Joseph.
Right now?
Yes.
But can I tell you
Brandon
right?
Brandon Carr, no.
Right. If I can I tell you right now, if they do let Wes Welker go.
What about Cortland Finnegan? Maybe.
No.
If they do let Wes Welker go,
you're
I'm going to be saying in the offseason they still need whether they keep Brandon Lloyd or not, they still need to get a wide receiver.
Why? Because they're so heavily invested and dominant on offense, you believe it's keeping them from being good on defense.
Well, I still think they're going to need a wide receiver.
You've invested in Aaron Hernandez.
A young wide receiver, but...
A speed wide receiver.
Defense.
Wes Welker's not a speed wide receiver.
Really, defense well, win
you signed your speed wide receiver. He's just not very speedy or good.
That's why I'm saying they need...
And he's here for two more years.
I told you. That's what All, right,
guys. All right, Larry. Thanks for the call.
I love how we, like... It's the Colts week, and yet we're in like these big picture discussions.
That's all right.
All this, you know, what needs to be better?
Yeah, because for all of our kvetching, we still think they're going to win every one of these games. You know, we have Houston and San Francisco coming up that I think we'll probably spend the whole week sort of analyzing those two specific opponents. But Miami,
and let's
the Colts,
face it, it's
Jacksonville. We're not going to spend a lot of time on these games.
Hopefully, one of these years, the Colts coming to town will be a big deal with Andrew Luck. You know, but it isn't yet. You know, if Peyton Manning was still a Colt, we'd be talking about Peyton Manning and the Colts. But you know.
6-3, they're you.
Dan and Harriet's on the line. Hey, Dan.
Afternoon, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Riff, riff.
Like, look, I don't want to tell you guys how to do your job or anything, but just next time you did have one of those debates about a basically arbitrary topic, it needs more fat and gay jokes.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
But I want to talk a little bit about...
Are there a lot of fat gay people? Could you have those combined into one?
Oh, boy.
You can. But I want to
on TV, all the gay people are always skinny.
There's a guy in Modern Family who's
that.
Oh, that's true. He's fat. What, you don't watch TV?
What are you talking about? Sorry.
You don't watch TV?
Yeah, sure.
Dan, you brought it up. So,
yeah, it's your fault. We were sticking too much football for you. You wanted fat and gay jokes.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I bit off a little more than I was prepared to chew there. But I wanted to talk about Andrew Luck for a second, because I heard some commentary last week about how Luck's play relates to how the Patriots should focus personnel-wise going forward. Some commentary from some radio guys. I'm not going to mention any names, but...
I need the names. Give me the names.
Tell you what, we'll just say Paul's going to see them today, and one of them rhymes with douche.
All right. Oh.
So Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah. The theory was that because Luck is playing so well now, that it's debatable that he could be the guy in the AFC for the next 10 years. And because Brady is, you know, on the back nine, the Patriots should invest a first-round pick on a quarterback as early as within the next 2 years, and I just disagreed with that 100%. I wanted to get what you guys thought about that, because in my opinion, as long as how long Brady's going to be here is an uncertainty, you can't invest that kind of draft pick on a quarterback in the first round, because if the time to invest in the future in the first round is when the future is all you have to look forward to. And I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on that.
That's very profound.
Well, it's a dangerous game to play, because then you have a first round pick, a high first round pick behind Brady. Now you get into, well, you've invested everything in your offense, your current offense and your future offense. That could have been a pass rusher. That could have been your shutdown cornerback. And I also don't really. The next 10 years, Luck's going to be great, right? Well, Mike Felger was telling me a few years ago that Carson Palmer was the future of the NFL, and he'd trade Brady for him in a heartbeat, and he's the best quarterback in the league. And where's Carson Palmer now? Well, he hasn't been good for a decade.
But I think here's the point, Andy. Whether you're right or wrong in terms of your personal evaluation, I think as a GM or whoever making the pick, if you feel that's the guy, you need to take him. You could be wrong on Carson Palmer, but if you think Carson Palmer is the future of the NFL at the quarter, you got to take him.
No, my point is just,
I think that
projecting your own team is hard enough. Yeah. Now projecting another team.
But I think next year, the year after, even if Tom Brady's still playing at the same level, if you're picking at 28 and there's a quarterback there that everyone's passed up, but you think he could be the guy, you got to pick him.
I'm fine with that.
You got to pick
him. I'm fine with it.
See, I think Fred's right. I think that you have to make the evaluation.
Right,
and there's no way, like, to present the way that Dan presented it, it's not really.
And by the way, thanks for the call, Dan.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's very interesting.
But I don't think, A, it has anything to do with Andrew Luck, or B, it has anything to do with anything other than the best player on the board is, I got to take him.
Right.
You don't go into the draft saying, I'm going to take a quarterback. You went into the draft, and all of a sudden, wow, my next franchise quarterback is available.
That's
I'm the
correct.
Packers. See, I got to take him.
I agree.
See, that's not really what I thought Dan was posing.
Yeah,
I thought he was saying within 2 years, you need to invest a first-round pick in a quarterback.
Right.
I don't agree with that either. I agree
because,
with you. Uh-oh, there's a quarterback there. I got to take him. Even though I could use a corner, this guy's right. it.
To use Andy's analogy, if Aaron Rodgers is available in the 20s, and you think, I can't believe Aaron Rodgers is available in the 20s, you have to take him.
Yep.
And you have to take him for two reasons. One, because you think he's that good. And two, because you think Brady is at the end.
Right.
You know, you wouldn't take Aaron Rodgers in the 20s, even if you thought he was the next greatest thing, if Brady was in year four.
And now on the flip.
But there's a difference with him at this stage of his career. But you can't just say blindly, I need to take a quarterback in the first round because Brady's going to be done. Well,
not if
it's Christian Ponder or Ryan Tannehill, and I don't think those guys are the guys. Now, if you think that they are, that's different.
Yeah. If I'm a GM and my guy is at the end, okay, really, I'm looking forward to him not really even having a good year next year. I would rather bring in another veteran for a year or two than force feed myself a quarterback who in the draft who I don't think, an early pick.
Yeah.
Who
you got to get a guy that you think is the next guy.
I'll just try to, put it together with baling wire and duct tape until I do feel I have the guy.
I'm not taking a guy to make him the starter that I don't believe in.
Right.
But you also have a guy, too.
Quick. Yeah.
Talking about now. You have a guy, Mallett, that I don't know where he plays in this.
Yeah, I don't.
That's what I'm saying. If it's that quick in the next year or two, the way that evidently Felger and Maz, I didn't hear any of this.
Oh, I buy it. I mean,
evidently Felger and Maz said in the next year or two you have to take a first round pick. Well, I disagree with that
because
you have
but
to try the
Andrew
guy that
Luck
you have.
Is good.
What? That doesn't have anything to do with it.
Who cares?
Right.
A, you don't know how good he is. B, you don't know how good he's going to be and how long he'll be around. But C, who gives a rat's ass? Worry about your own team.
It has nothing to do with us.
And I also want to disagree with one element of how Dan presented it. Was he him saying you can't take a – I disagree with that because of the uncertainty of Brady. Well, it's not uncertain to the Patriots.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? They might in their mind say, here's the day that Tom Brady's contract expires. We are not going to renew it. We're not going to extend him. They may also say, here's where we're going to go to him with a year left on his contract and say, Tom, here's three more years. We want you to stay. They know. They have an idea of how long Tom Brady's going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really an uncertainty kind of thing, with Tom Brady. Let's face it. Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and Robert Kraft, they have a pretty good relationship.
But
there's
an uncertainty to some degree because
we don't know when he's going to hit the ball.
But you also don't know what he's thinking for value as opposed to, it's easy for them to say, here's what we're thinking. 3 years. Now, you're old. You're declining. So it's 3 years at $45 million, $15 million. Tom goes, whoa, whoa, whoa. Peyton's making 25 out there or whatever the hell he 20.
And then the Patriots would say, Okay, this is what I'm saying. But it's not, they know. That's what I'm saying, really,
because they don't know what Brady's going to say.
We don't have any idea.
Just because he's caved every other time doesn't mean he's going to cave this time.
No, but what I'm saying
is
if that happens and they don't like it, then they move on. That's what I'm saying.
No, I know, but you're already at that point.
What do you mean?
You don't know when the end is. If you're offering three more years as starter, if he accepts it, now you've changed the finish line. If he declines it.
No, but I'm saying if this takes place before you have to make a decision in the draft is what I'm saying. You know, 2 years from now, to use Felger and Maz's Andrew Luck thing, which I agree with you. I don't understand what Andrew Luck has to do with it.
2 years from now, Brady's contract's done.
No.
So if it reaches that point, it's already too late. You haven't developed, you haven't got your first round pick.
I'm just going off of what Dan said. He said that in the next 2 years, next year or two, they have to use a first-round pick on a quarterback, but you can't do that because of the uncertainty. I don't think it's uncertain on the part of the Patriots. I think they have an idea of how much longer they want Tom Brady to be their quarterback.
But I think the argument Felger and Maz are making, that it's irrelevant of Tom Brady. They're just saying because Luck's going to be good for a decade, you need to find a quarterback who's going to be good for a decade.
That's stupid.
Because Tom Brady is not going to be good for a decade. They don't care when Tom Brady ends. They're saying you need to get the guy.
In order to compete with the Colts is what they're saying?
Well, basically, I didn't hear it, so I'm kind of
Yeah, I don't understand what Andrew Luck. I don't get. No one's going to explain to me what Andrew Luck has to do.
You hear on that show.
Yeah.
And you're part of.
And it's up to
I've never
you,
heard
Paul,
you, but
to set them straight when you get there.
Some of us work till 5.
I hope you set them straight.
No idea if we're going to be talking about that.
I would hope you're talking about football. Right?
You could also bring it up.
Talking
you know.
About Andrew Luck.
You wouldn't go in and say, I got to ask you guys something. We're getting callers to our radio show that say, you idiots are telling people that they have to draft a quarterback in the first round in one of the next 2 years because Andrew Luck is good. Please explain.
Right.
Just like that.
I don't get.
Plus, you get to pump the radio show. PFW in progress on Patriots.com.
I don't get the Andrew Luck thing.
There's no way a team, even when they need a quarterback, should in the first round pick a guy that they don't think is going to be their franchise. You just can't do it.
Right.
You know, it's now you're paying the guy first round quarterback money, and you know you set yourself up for failure. You just can't do it. You got to hold the line, hope you can just get by until you get the guy.
It's one of the two most important decisions a team makes,
coach and
quarterback.
That's true. Eldridge is in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good.
I would love your show as usual. But,
now, would you be okay letting Welcher go to get a help on defense?
No, I would let Brandon Lloyd, Slater, and Elderman go.
Yeah, but all that added up, it isn't enough money.
Elderman.
That's not enough money.
That's not enough money. But,
no.
Welcher right now is the leading receiver. Yeah, no, he's not fast, he's not slow, but he's Mr. Reliable sometimes when he should be catching stuff. He drops it, but I respect him more than I do Branch and Lloyd, because I got them both of my fantasy teams, and I had dropped both of them.
Well, you should.
But getting back to what you said earlier, you can't be dumb it on both sides. Well, let me see. The year that the Green Bay beat the Patriots, I think they was number, what, 3 in defense and number 6 in offense with Brett Favre. And when Pittsburgh won the first year with Roethlisberger, they was number 1 on defense, and I think they was number 9th in offense, you know, because they covered and they hit. San Francisco 49ers, when they had Steve Young, they was pretty good on defense. I think they was in the top 10 or top 12. In offense, they was in the top 7.
Yeah, but
so
I don't consider 12 elite personally.
Yeah, and I also
like the Patriots. Like the Patriots will tell me. Patriots will tell me the Patriot that they're tied for 15th in scoring defense. Are they close to being an elite scoring defense? No, they blow.
No. I don't know. I'm just saying scoring defense wise, you know, they have things. No, I'm thinking shut down yardage wise and not getting burnt like you're a wide open freeway going down the highway. You know what I mean?
I hear you, bro.
That's what I'm talking. And when Elite get here, I don't know how much shape he's in or whatever, but if they put him on the best receiver man on man and just let him run that and run zones with the safeties, we might be okay. But like the other callers say, who you gonna compare him with? Because everybody's getting burnt, and I think it's scheme and personnel. Because every time I look at them, they're watching the receivers go fast off the line, and they're just standing there.
Yeah,
and then they got a 3 to 5 yard break on them. They can't catch up, and they slow. But now the secondaries on our receivers, they ain't got to worry about it because we ain't got no fast receivers. So they can run with them.
Oh my god!
Evident is the last 3 games.
That's right.
You know, they
37, 45, and 29. Last three games, point totals.
Might be point total, but like I said, we get in there on
not about talking. Points, about yards, Paul, about moving up and down the field.
Right, right.
Going up and down the field, right, going up and down the
I
field.
Hear you, Eldridge. Stop. I'm with you, bro.
Stop.
Yeah, but see, like I said, that two suckers Andy was talking about to get to the quarterback, Sunday, I think Fitzpatrick had 6-7 suckers about 45% of the time, and he was burning us up.
Yep.
Lion wasn't getting there. Lion wasn't getting there well. He didn't have to get wait that long in the way because, hey, we were getting burnt right off the back. I'm like, dog, y'all sitting there. Yeah. Why are you not moving? You know, and I had a rotary cuff repair. I'm up jumping and yelling. My wife thought, you hurting? I'm like, no, this team is hurting me.
All right,
that's
Eldridge.
A good call.
That's
Eldridge.
Good stuff right there.
I just want to correct one thing. I had it at 40% of the time when he had 6 or 7 seconds to throw. So I think he was exaggerating a little. Go ahead.
I like the rotary cuff.
The rotary cuff. Endelman.
Sam is in Houston. Hey, Sam.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
What's up, Sam?
Not too much. I'm trying to figure out what happened to Chong again? And he's trying to get money from us?
Chong hurt his shoulder.
Shoulder injury. Just as nothing.
And he's
on
a
that,
free agent to be.
He appeared yesterday for a local. I think it was with at a school for I don't know what he was doing, but maybe reading to maybe one of those Patriot Tuesdays where he was reading to middle school kids or something like that. He wouldn't answer any questions about football, but one of the kids asked him when he would be back, and he said sooner than you think. To which I kind of thought that was funny because I thought he was going to be back 2 weeks ago. So it's impossible to be back sooner than I think,
right?
Because I thought he would already be back,
right?
But
plus, we've played this game before.
Yes, we have.
With him.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, I don't understand it. We got corners playing safety. Thank goodness for McCourty and the interception or whatever. That's great. But it's getting to the point where, well, it's past the point of ridiculous. Whenever Bill Belichick face looks like, phew, we got by that one.
Yeah. No, I know. I agree, Sam.
Seems like everybody, and I'm included, are really noticing Belichick's faces on the sideline more than
I thought he was exasperated.
I did too.
Yeah, and I think there was a lack of expression on him this weekend where it's just like,
well, it's resigned to.
Yeah,
there was one play.
I think
it was the Chandler touchdown. It was either the Jones or the Chandler one.
I think it was the Chandler one when he just kind of had. Yep.
Like the arms are all palms up in the air, and he's like, "What are we doing?"
He needs to go to that little sheet and write.
Cover tight end.
I noticed tackle. It specifically even more so on the, I think it was 4th and 3 Buffalo converted.
Yeah. Dennard went in.
Yep. And
Johnson went out
and he was open by like 7 yards. And yeah. It was just such an easy, like, you know, 15 yard out pattern.
And it was funny in the press box, someone goes, you can hear everybody talking in the press box and someone goes, why are they going for it on 4th down? And Andy goes, cause they could do that.
Yeah. But that was the one that stuck out the most to me cause he was down sort of in front of me and I was like, oh boy. And I just walked the other way.
And getting back to the 2 seconds, the 3 seconds, the 6 seconds. Am I a little, am I being my cynical self and saying that Chandler Jones has been very good for a rookie, but has not been like, wow, elite, change the defense kind of guy?
No.
Because, I mean, Greg Bedard had him as, you know, just nipping at the heels of being the midseason all-pro at defensive end.
Yeah, I think he's definitely slowed down. I saw a couple plays where he was kind of slapping at air and just not really making any progress.
And am I, like, misreading when I watch...
Is he reaching Bobby Hamilton status?
Well, no, but, like, you watch, you know, and admittedly, you see guys in stretches of when they're at their best. They're hot. You know, J.J. Watt or Clay Matthews. That one game earlier this year on either Sunday, Monday Night Football, something.
He just knocked down
every freaking play.
Pass,
but even, like, you know, and he would move around and he'd be in there and then all of a sudden he'd make a tackle on a screen and you're like... That's a defensive player of the year. That's a
I haven't
a wow.
seen those kinds. I mean, I think Jones has had a terrific rookie year, but I agree with you.
Yeah. So that's part of it, too.
I'm happy with him.
And as much as I love Ninkovich, and I'm now on his, you know, bandwagon and want to get him in the Pro Bowl, is he I mean, he makes plays. There are forced fumbles. But is he every play? Is it like, wow, that Ninkovich is just destroying the right tackle?
Well,
no,
like
it comes every once in a while.
If you had to pick who was the star of the game on defense, and we all sat there and looked at each other and we're like, I don't know. You know, every guy made so many mistakes that how do you pick? You know, McCourty had a forced fumble at the 1 and an interception in the end zone, but yet The other team throws for 350 yards, largely right in front of them.
Right.
So, you know, Brandon Spikes, you mentioned, had the forced fumble on Fred Jackson, but he couldn't reroute any of those tight ends on, you know, 65 yards worth of passes to Scott Chandler. You know, like, nobody played well Sunday.
No,
nobody.
I would refrain from giving out a star.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't get one. It's like black jerseys. We only get them when you actually earn them.
Anybody who simulated a Bills offensive player, now do you give them the shirt, or do you? Wait, how do you look at that? You were too good, or you didn't give us a good enough
weren't look. Weren't good enough. You didn't replicate C.J. Spiller. I wouldn't give it to him. If Danny Woodhead or whoever the hell the back was, you didn't look anything like how quick he was out on the field. These guys were falling on their faces because they weren't ready.
We should say the Patriots did make a move, by the way. They signed a veteran offensive line, another guard.
Mitch Petras.
Which doesn't say anything good for Mankins and Conley situation. Yeah.
And
I said at the game, I think it's time to pull the plug on Mankins. Yeah.
Jeff Tarpinian back on the practice squad, and that Jarrell Harris guy that Fred was very concerned about his Alabama career.
Alabama.
We don't have to worry about it.
He's gone.
Dan the Byman, I see a different team this year. In theory, they are better, and they should be better as long as time permits. Right around last time last year, they pulled out a win against the Cowboys. The offense could have put the game away but didn't. They end up so close to lose. But the past Bills game was a little bit better. They were able to generate some points, even though not touchdowns. That's better than last year. So if we were to generate three more points, we would have had one Super Bowl last year. We would have won the Super Bowl last year. That may be the difference. Yes, our defense needs to improve.
I don't understand.
Yes, our defense needs to improve. Defensive back, pass rush, etc. I am still hopeful. Are you, Paul?
I don't really understand.
No, that's RuPaul.
Oh.
I have a favor to ask. Eric, can you paint or recreate a photo of the Café du Mont? I need that in my dining room. That's Dan the Buy Room.
Sure he could for the right price.
Yeah, if you give him a nice picture, he can trace it.
Right.
That's what he does well.
Graph and,
I'm not making fun of him. I couldn't trace it.
You can get the same thing for about $100.
You guys
all
right, by the way?
I don't know. Something.
Jeez. Andy's throwing up.
First time in the whatever many year, 3 years now that we've been shooting that PFW TV show, we actually had to stop and redo a segment yesterday because first I just started spitting in the middle of me talking. I had spittle coming out of my mouth like Bill Cowher. And then all of a sudden Andy went on a vicious coughing attack.
Right.
And Fred was like, he had his hands up. He's waving back and forth.
We actually had to redo a segment. Ramon in Dallas writes in, would you say that Andy is PFW's punk?
Yes.
I mean it in the same context as Brandon Spikes being the Patriots punk. I don't see any other suitable candidate, so it has to be Andy.
According to Kevin, Wes Welker didn't practice.
Yeah, Wes Welker didn't practice.
Wait, I'm a punk for what?
You're like our version of the punk, Brandon Spikes.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Wes Welker did not practice. You suspected Andy. You said that he was having x-rays after
the game. Whoa.
He didn't say that. Comcast did.
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right.
Can you not?
He and Mankins are the only.
Yeah. Can you try not to get Andy and I in trouble?
I do a good enough job on my own. I don't need any help from you.
Well, it was out there that he had a problem after the game.
Well, we talked about it on the post game show.
Sun Life.
Yeah. Didn't. The down and distance escapes me, but the big 23-yard catch he had.
Yes.
On that last drive where he reversed fields.
Yes. Yeah.
He went down and got tackled. He came up funny.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't notice that.
He did, and not only that, but. The second he got tackled, Lloyd was motioning for Edelman to come in the game the second the tackle happened. So I knew something was funny.
Okay. Thanks for telling us.
Mankins was not there either, evidently.
Yeah.
Scott writes in, hey, guys, and Eric, quick question. People say that the Patriots is Bill's team, offense and defense. Would prefer it that way. Would you prefer it that way or for the Patriots to have a defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator that calls the plays their way and not Bill's way?
Bill's way works.
Obviously, Bill would oversee it, but not necessarily control the call. Appreciate your thoughts. Keep up the good work.
I don't think Bill controls the
call
right
now. Bill does not make the calls on offense.
Well, he has the veto power. He has the do this, do that.
But from a play to play, that's,
right, but he's picking. Josh is picking from within the confines of the plays they've set up in the game plan on Tuesday with Bill.
That Bill does.
Yeah,
and Brady.
Let's see. Christian writes in. He says nothing like a stinking jet ship to make me forget about the Swiss cheese secondary. As Joe Benigno,
like that.
Who's that?
Said after
the fan.
The 2010 45-3 Jets loss to the Patriots. What a disaster.
What a disaster.
So the Jets want to sign Timmy Tebow and hire Tony Elmer Fudd Sperano to run their offense. You get what you deserve, Tannenbaum. The Jets' biggest mistake, in my opinion, was signing Tebow. All they did was create a distraction and further weaken the mind of an already fragile starting quarterback in Sanchez. The Jets suck, and I can't wait to watch the Thanksgiving night thrashing the Patriots will put on them. Oh, wait, I forgot the friggin' Swiss cheese secondary.
You're back.
Right.
I agree with that last part. I think, in particular, for a guy like Sanchez, it was really, really bad.
Yeah, I don't mind it, really.
Jesus.
I think he's going to die.
Jeez, Andy. Jeez.
Wow.
What, do you get something in your throat?
I don't know. The only reason I don't mind it is you were going down the road if Sanchez wasn't the quarterback.
Frog in my throat.
Force the issue. Either he gets a kick in the ass from Tebow, or you put the final nail in the coffin and say, we got
to
move on.
Yeah, that's clearly what they tried to do. They thought that, because wasn't there like some talk that maybe he didn't work as hard off the field and, you know, studying and all that stuff, and he was too, you know, caught up in the New York nightlife and his girlfriend 16-year-old. Whatever.
He went out with a 16-year-old?
She was
18,
I think she was 17 and a half.
And then he was doing, what's her name? Tony Parker's ex-wife, right?
Eva Longoria.
Wasn't he doing her for a while? Eric, you get Entertainment Weekly. Wasn't he with her?
I think so. I think you're right.
But not anymore, right? I mean, that's a big difference to go from a 16-year-old high school girl. I remember criticizing him at the time. You're an NFL star quarterback in New York. You should not be dating. That says something about your personality, confidence, ego. And then all of a sudden he was dating who he should be.
Right.
You know, a hot actress who dates athletes. So he's all over the place.
Eric's here.
Hey, guys.
But guess who isn't?
Wes Welker. He's going to tell us Wes Welker wasn't practicing, right?
Nor Logan Mankins.
Why don't you let him tell us what he's going to tell us?
Nor Logan Mankins. Mankins, I'm not surprised one bit.
I'm not surprised about Welker.
I'm not either.
Yeah. You get X-rayed.
And the reports that...
And those are reports from Comcast again.
Yes.
Not Andy Hart.
Right.
Well, Fred tried to say earlier, Andy, you were saying that Welker had problems post-game, and I go, no, I wasn't saying anything.
We actually saw him post-game walking through the locker room,
yeah.
And he didn't seem to have any problems.
It was Fu Man.
Was Hernandez out there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so...
He was. Just those two guys. Tracy White returned, which was good for him, and your guy, Trevor Scott.
He's
the,
back?
The safety,
oh,
yeah.
There's your pass rush. There's our pass rush.
Yeah, there's one of our top five playmakers back.
Refresh my memory. Hernandez was out there last week as well, right?
Yes.
He was
limited,
all week.
Limited every day,
well,
right?
Yeah, except for the Tuesday, yeah.
Yeah, though, I mean, Wednesday, Thursday,
yeah.
Friday,
yep.
He was limited, but
mm-hmm.
He was out there.
Mm-hmm.
What, Hassad Kramar, I mean, Tlaib.
Tlaib?
Good.
Looked pretty good.
Cover corner.
Pretty smooth. We actually got to see, like, a period and a half, sort of actually their, you know, post-stretching, doing things. Individual stuff.
He looked good, though. Quick.
I mean, yeah, I mean, he was
long.
Like, they put him in the back because he's the new guy, so he was, you know, at the end of all of the rotation of defensive backs, but they worked on a, sort of like a, you know, getting to the quarterback and stripping from the back. And then just sort of backpedaling, turning, the ball movement.
Turning.
And throwing and catching. I mean, he looked smooth, swivel
good.
Hips.
Best
yeah.
athlete on the field.
Good athlete. Very yeah. good athlete, yeah.
Big?
Yeah.
Long?
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't
right.
know, we were outside.
Were a lot of the media bitching about 4 o'clock locker room access?
Yes, and we have the culprit, too, that we know is the reason behind it.
What's this? Who's that?
An outlet, one particular outlet complained about the...
a local outlet?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Who?
I can only
yeah.
guess who that is.
You know who.
Complained can you not about... wink at me and just tell me?
No. Complained about the...
the boring broadsheet?
Yes.
Yeah.
Who's that?
That's not... It's just... Let's just... Somebody
why?
Complained...
You know the whole story. Why? You
somebody complained that the players weren't available because there were meetings and stuff going, other commitments that they had during our open locker room period. So the change was made to later in the day after practice. So I'm hoping to God that there are no players in there today so that they can move it back to where it was before.
And to the left.
I'd like
just back. Is
back.
It just,
why can't we go back to the old days where it was like every single day was clockwork, 10:30 or 10:45, you went to Bill. After that, you went to the locker room. Then you came to radio.
Right.
Did that work too well? We won Super Bowls back that way.
Wow.
Eric, he's black jerseys.
Fast. Yeah, four of them.
no running backs.
No running backs.
It's because they didn't replicate C.J. Spiller well enough to prepare them.
Apparently not.
actually,
no, I take that back. One running back.
James Devlin?
I take that back. One running back.
If no. they were prepping for him, no wonder Spiller seemed so fast.
He no.
was Corey McIntyre. They wanted to see someone.
No, Shane Vereen got a black jersey, so I'm guessing he was the C.J. Spiller.
He was Spiller.
Yep.
And he
that
didn't
was,
prepare him properly.
Yeah. Ryan Mallett got one.
Oh, yeah.
Derek Martin
threw
got
picks
one.
Just like at the key time. Just like this.
It's just unbelievable.
He just can't help himself. Now he's going to start coughing.
Right.
Derek Martin.
The hell did he do?
I don't know. Maybe he.
Down to punt?
I don't know.
Showed up in Super Bowl rings. And who else?
Brandon Dedrick, who may, I guess, have played Marcel Darius.
It's Darius.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's what they say.
Rhymes with Ja.
Yarius.
Figured you'd be all over that.
Ja, da. Yeah, you're
that's
a
how,
Scalavino.
That's how you would pronounce it.
Scalavino.
All right, good
Freddie,
practice.
Speaking of showing off the rings,
yeah.
I did that this week to my to Will's flag football game. They were playing. They had a semifinal game, and if they won, they got to play in the Super Bowl. So they did. So in between games, I showed the whole team the ring.
This is what you're playing for.
I said, this is what you're playing for.
Like when Bill pulled out the trophy. What was that, 02?
They all took pictures with them on and their parents and stuff.
So and then lost.
They got a big kick out of it, and then they proceeded to get their asses kicked in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we'll do that one again.
Yeah, they're 0-3 in Super Bowls. I tried it with. I tried without. I was trying to do something different.
Oh, they're the ribs.
Bob writes in, Paul, you are a fantastic Patriots analyst, but you keep dismissing Brady's amazing record when he has started as the quarterback for the Patriots.
I'm not dismissing any of
that. He has never lost a game in which the Patriots have led after either the half or after the third quarter, and that's 84 regular season games at home without spitting the bit.
I don't believe that's true. They never lost a game when they were leading after three?
That's what he says. At home. At home. I don't know.
Okay, and like, we have any more stipulations?
I don't think that's
true,
I don't think
that's true.
Okay.
He's never lost a game leading at the half at home.
Or the third quarter.
I know, but leading at the half. He's never led a game and then lost? That doesn't seem right.
We'll have to check it out.
But I don't really understand what that has to do. I mean, I think the world of Brady, so you're not going to convince me that Brady's better than I think he is.
Thinks the world, but he would trade him. Luck or Stafford.
55 games
I
leading
would,
after
I would like to well, be. I mean, I would like to have a potential to have Brady for the next 15
he's
years,
he's got details.
Too.
55 games leading after the half and 60 games leading after three quarters. If the Patriots had lost to the Bills
on Sunday. I thought it was
Sunday,
85.
Yeah, where did 80?
I don't know.
Okay.
If the Patriots had lost to the Bills on Sunday or the Jets a few weeks ago, it would have been the first time. How can you say that Brady is not performing in the clutch? Perfect is perfect. Yes, you can argue on the road he has not been that perfect, losing to Baltimore and Seattle after leading after the half or third quarter. But every quarterback loses more on the road than they do at home. Even so, since 2009, Brady has lost only 14 games of the regular season. And of the road games, he has lost 12. Yes, in six of them he has lost having the lead after the half and the third quarter. Sure, Brady may not have closed as well on the road, but you act like Brady should be expected to maintain the same level of excellence in front of friendly crowds versus hostile, boisterous fans. That is not only unrealistic with Brady, but every other quarterback.
Yeah, you're an idiot, Paul.
Yeah, I don't think anything of Brady. You're right.
So there you go.
That's it? Nothing?
Tim writes in.
As I said, there's nothing anybody can tell
Papa me. Papa Vane or something.
There's nothing anybody can tell me that's going to make me think more of Tom Brady. I think as much of him as I could think of any quarterback. Honest to God.
Would you adopt him as your son?
No.
Did you know he wanted to go to Northeastern
before
Michigan? And then his dad talked him out of it, but he was actually going to go to Northeastern.
Is that right? Because of the co-op?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. He was looking beyond football, as he so often does. Yeah.
Couldn't get in.
He thought it was Northwestern.
Couldn't get in.
He said, oh, wait. What?
Northeastern. Never heard of it.
Now, Tim, the big win last night for the Huskies, by the way.
What sport? Volleyball?
Basketball.
Although Northwestern isn't in the Northwest. So.
Well, it was at one
point. Stirring one-point victory over Princeton.
Do you follow
the
women's sports?
At one point it was in the Northwest part of this country.
You're not a
title. Is that how old it is?
No. Oh, I don't know. I assumed. It's not old? No, probably not.
What's old?
Maybe not that old. I don't know.
What's old?
Move on.
Northwestern?
Yeah, it's probably been around for a while, I would guess.
I said at one point it was in the northwestern part of the country.
But I said, I don't know if it's that old.
I bet it is.
Before the Louisiana Purchase?
He's so happy with this.
Because he actually
so
did
proud.
It right.
Yes.
He got it out right. He's so happy.
That genuine smile he has of pride.
It's like when he had the line earlier about all the celebrities. Yes. You know, I know Matt Damon listens to this show.
Well, he does?
I did a shout-out, and I should repeat it in case somebody joined us late.
Yeah, I joined you late.
In case Ben Affleck is listening now.
I was thinking of Paulie in L.A.'s commercial.
Paulie.
Such a good commercial.
What commercial?
The Visa commercial, where he's the guy with Harbaugh and the 49ers.
That's Paulie in L.A.?
Yeah.
For crying out loud. You really don't come to the show anymore.
That?
You're not part of
it. I'm not on the show.
You're on it now. No, but Paulie in L.A.
Paulie in L.A. We didn't know either. We didn't know either.
I kind of did.
We found that out.
Is that guy in the 49ers locker? Oh, I had no idea that was him.
Yeah, so it's cool, right?
Yes.
So I was thinking, you know, I asked, you know, over the air, Paulie, send us in an 8x10 like Mary McCormick did so we could put it next to hers.
Right.
But then I know that a lot of other celebrities listen to PFW in Progress, like Matt Damon and Ben Affleck and
Ben Affleck,
and Bon Jovi. So if they could do the same, John I'd like Bovey. To start a collection of all our celebrity listeners.
And then we'll Photoshop ourselves into the picture, and you know, it'd be like all those celebrities were actually here in the studio with us.
So Matt, tell Ben, you know, and Bon, tell
Bon. Who's Bon?
Jovi.
Oh. That's good.
Why is that sandwich not being eaten?
Because we're waiting for you.
Is there something wrong with it?
No.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I had
spunked on it.
Yeah. That isn't that the first
it's
thing?
On
isn't
his.
The first it thing?
Now
I
is.
Thought
now
of?
Is this? Right. Is this hazing or is this just good fun?
But I would think
it's
that
neither.
When
it's
you
just,
when
it's
you
just
came
a condiment.
When you came in from practice, Eric, and you saw no, a half
a
turkey
condom
sandwich, I'm sure the first thing you thought of when
oh,
you said, "Why is that eaten?"
Right? Did Andy spunk on it?
Did someone spunk on it?
Right. Tim in Baltimore, when the Patriots didn't get
like he's like all happy.
Yeah, he is. He's happy with himself.
Now he's like Fred. He's all smiling.
When the Patriots didn't get that touchdown at the end of the fourth quarter and had to settle for the field goal, the Bills got the ball with a little over 2 minutes left on the 20-yard line, down by six. I was seriously thinking the Bills should just let them score. Actually, I said that.
Fred wanted them to score on the kickoff.
An 80-yard touchdown.
Just so you know, Fred absolutely said, should we let them score? And,
right.
And you know what?
But on the kickoff. Unprecedented.
But you know what the worst part of it was? I didn't have a rationally passionate argument against it.
Right. That's funny. Let's see. Grimesy Skiz in Miami says, I'm in Miami, and I actually was watching it, and a feller said he would trade Brady for Andrew Luck right now, and he was going real hard because Jermaine Wiggins pretty much was saying that's crazy, like he called Luck pretty much a top 10 quarterback right now and better than any rookie quarterbacks. I would do it.
So would Paul.
Yeah, I would definitely look into that.
I would not.
You know, and I understand that if you did that, you would probably be forfeiting your chances to win the Super Bowl this year.
Yes.
But I don't think that you would be forfeiting them much beyond this
year.
I
think Luck is one of those once-in-a-generation quarterbacks.
I think he could be.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to say he is.
Well,
I think he could be.
But I think I'd take my chances on him.
I would.
And I just look at it and say, best case scenario, I have three or four more years where I have the best quarterback in football, or one of the two or three best. More likely, I'm not going to have that, and
right.
I need the bridge. And I think this gives you a rare. What happened for Indianapolis was incredibly lucky, you know, to lose your franchise quarterback, and then be able to be in a situation where you can get a guy to replace him. There's so many years where that guy, that can't miss guy. Is not Andrew Luck.
Right.
You know, they had all these things happen in the perfect year for them, and they were able to get lucky, and they found the successor.
Right.
And they got the franchise guy, just like Carolina has Cam Newton, their franchise guy.
It could have been that.
The second coming until he became not the second coming.
Right.
Now he's the second coming of a bust.
And it could have been that. You know, had they tanked it and gone 2-14 the year that Newton comes out, no one's looking at it saying, well, they're set up for the next 15 years.
Well, they were actually last year. Like, Fred thought he was the year two MVP.
I still think he's going to be a good quarterback.
Now, next year, Fred will think Luck's the MVP when he has his crap bum. His numbers are already crap bum.
I don't think that Newton will. I don't think he's that good. I think he is not.
I don't think he'll be
Luck. I don't
think
he's equipped mentally to handle
the maturity of me.
Chad writes in, just a few quick thoughts. Everyone is wondering why the defense is so bad, but in my opinion, it's a simple answer with a more complex fix. This defense will continue to suffer if the pass rush doesn't improve. Any scrub quarterback will look like a Pro Bowler with too much time in the pocket, and the more time he gets, the harder it is on the DBs. I think we have some pretty talented DBs, but if we are consistent in failing to provide a decent pressure, it makes it harder on our DBs. So in my opinion, fix the pass rush, fix the defense. Love the show. Keep up the good
work. That seemed like a political statement.
I think you need to do a lot more than just that.
Both.
I do agree that the pass rush sort of this year, for some reason, is getting a pass.
Big time.
Pardon the pun.
Because it's young guys that they like.
Yeah, well, they're not getting to the quarterback any more often than they did last year.
No.
Ooh,
but for some reason, people seem to be giving them a free pass.
They're
they
young
have
guys
a, they have,
like.
We even got an Ask PFW this week, I think. And Eric, you may have answered it in your mailbag yesterday about how You know, now we're getting to the quarterback, and we still can't stop the pass. What's the excuse now? No, we're not getting to the quarterback.
No, I think what people are maybe getting confused here is that, like, people like me had lower expectations for Jones. Like, I thought he would have six sacks maybe by the end of the year. And the fact that he has them already means that he's exceeding my expectations. I think maybe other people are looking at it that way and thinking, oh, the pass rush is doing better. But really, it's not. It's just this one player is doing a little bit better than you thought. And Ninko maybe is making a few more plays consistently than he was before.
Overall, but the pass rush has overall has not been good, just hasn't like it been wasn't this, good last year.
Even though it was two 10-sack players, it wasn't really... Yeah,
they're probably going to end up like, with two 10-sack players
they probably
this year,
will.
Too.
Yeah, but it's not really an improvement.
Right. That's kind of what Andy and I have been saying all year. That was like, if you just let Mark Anderson go and Andre Carter go and you bring in Chandler Jones, well, best case scenario, you're starting at square one. You know, best case scenario is Chandler Jones replaces Andre Carter. And then you don't have anybody who replaces Mark Anderson because Rob Ninkovich was already here last year. Mm-hmm. So even if he does a little bit better than he was, he's not replacing the 10 sacks you lost from Mark Anderson. He might be upping the six or so that he had last year to eight or whatever he's going to end up with, but you're still one short. Do you know what I'm saying?
But then Hightower made that kind of push things around.
But Hightower's not.
No, he isn't. I'm thinking theoretically, but he's not.
Well, I don't think they've really even asked him to do that.
Theoretically, there's a lot of guys. In theory, your guy, Trevor Scott. Right. My guy, Jake Beckett. There's a lot of theoretical pass rushers who have done nothing in the physical.
So the end result is you're right about where you were last year. I don't know what the numbers are, but I can't imagine they have many more sacks,
identical.
If any.
I wrote that Ninkovich story last week, and their sacks per pass play, I believe, were identical, 22nd in the league, I think.
And I can't imagine that, it was any greater. And matter of fact, to me, it even seems like they have less pressure this year than they did last year. And
I'll bet you the number is better because I know they're already crediting Chandler Jones with like 20 pressures or something like that.
I'll bet you it's not.
Who's they?
Whoever does the stats for pressures, the league.
The league doesn't do that.
No. The league does QB hits.
Yeah.
And sacks.
They do. There's a number for pressure.
Well,
hurry.
The they, I'm wondering if you're talking about Greg Bedard, who has him as an all-pro at this point.
Right. The they is someone who's watching the game and making a subjective analysis. They don't keep that. The league doesn't keep the stat.
Let's see. Billy writes in, if we are picking in the mid to late 20s and Marcus Mariota of Oregon or Johnny Manziel of Texas A&M are available, who do you pick? Like to see
Isn't
what you
Manziel
guys are
freshman?
Thinking because I personally like Mariota. He is fast, strong, but accurate arm, and he's also very smart.
He's a good college player, that's for sure.
I wouldn't pick anybody from Oregon. I mean, I don't think that translates to the NFL what they do over there.
It's probably going to.
I was going to say, that's where it's heading, Fred.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't seen enough of him. Manziel
Kelly might be in the NFL.
Manziel is a freshman,
bring that with
like
him.
Andy just said, so he's not really into it.
Johnny.
I think these guys are tremendous athletes.
Johnny football.
I'm not sure.
He's trademarking it.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's efforting to.
I'm not sure they're quarterbacks yet. I think they're tremendous athletes. I'm not sure that they're necessarily quarterbacks in the NFL yet.
I think he could be.
I like him. That game that he had last week was
unbelievable. I wouldn't take
him
because I'm just – the athletic quarterback I don't think is where it's at. And I no matter where the league goes, I still think you need a legit franchise guy.
You know how like Mike Mayock and those guys, they get real snooty when they talk about the analysis and they're like, I watched all – 311 dropbacks passes.
Sort of like Jeff in Vegas with Andrew Luck.
I need to do that with Johnny Football because I haven't seen him just like traditionally drop back and throw a pass often enough. I was blown
but he
away.
Might in 3 years or 2 years.
Absolutely. I was absolutely blown away with that performance against Alabama.
He is phenomenal.
Did you guys watch that game at all?
He needs proactive, though.
How about the fact that they don't let
him
issues. Talk to the
media? They pop out, Just saying.
What do you think? How about the fact that they don't let him talk to the media?
He's a freshman.
Freshmen don't talk to the media.
I'm okay with that. I like that.
Well, you are consistent. I'll give you that.
I'm about tradition and the way things
It's okay they'd be 0-9 without him, but pay your dues, kid.
Just because one coach let him come off the basketball court after training camp to play football, he has this laissez-faire approach to sports.
What does basketball have to do
Whatever
with it?
The hell you were.
I love this story. You can continue to tell it. I tell you all
Why?
The time.
You're not good at the end of the story. You're just allowed on the team. They just needed a clipboard holder.
No, they came after me.
They needed a third-string quarterback to back up the running back who was the backup quarterback.
He was highly recruited.
You're mixing up years.
At an elite program.
See, you.
It is an elite program. That is true.
You mixed up.
He went there on the only down era in the 100-year history
mixed
of
up,
said program.
You mixed up the stories. The reason why I wasn't playing was because of the whole
really
thing
care.
That you're talking about nah, happened the year before.
Don't fixate on the details.
No. Well, that's a big detail you screwed up.
What?
My
wait, wait a minute.
I was
another
a regular
boycott
player.
By Paul? Boy, shocking.
Is it lunch in the press box
some
or
people,
his football career?
Some people have
did
principles,
Did you walk in
Fred?
A locker room, slam down your jockstrap, and say, I'm out?
Fred, some people have principles. The fact that you don't, that's up to you.
It's the things you choose to have principles about,
right.
Like
right.
Free food.
He'd murder somebody because they said something to him after a Super Bowl, but free food
I don't,
he boycotts.
Really, the free food is not a principle thing. That's just stupid. Because I didn't like.
Oh, no,
I didn't like. The
we
food.
All agree it was stupid when you did it.
Because what? But I'm supposed to continue to eat food I don't like. Like that's
and
a
then
principle.
Slam down your D'Angelo. That's I'll show you. I'll go buy my own damn sub.
But that's a principle. But that's a principle.
Well,
and it made a scene. You were the only two guys
you're
that
like
knew
the
what happened.
Array of free food.
But you, the only two guys that were in the press box that knew
Norma
what happened. Ray. Were you and Andy?
Who's Norma Ray?
So what scene did I?
She's
miss?
The one that organized the
Sally Field in
the
movie.
They made the movie. She stood up for her rights.
Because they were getting, weren't
yeah.
the women getting paid like
something
far less?
Like that. Yeah.
Rosa Parks? I got
no.
her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, Rosa Parks appreciate. I like that better.
Unbelievable. I wasn't going to play my senior year. My coach came by, saw me, and begged me to come back on the team after, you
the
know,
worst coach
sessions.
In the history of a 100-year
program.
It sounds
good. It's a good story. All right.
You tell me.
Yeah. All right, that's it for this edition
right.
of PFW in Progress.
Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, we want to thank you for listening.
How's John Rook doing? Do we have any updates?
Did he pass it?
I think he's doing all right. I haven't heard from him today, though.
Okay, well, John Rook is still on
I heard
leave.
Him
I thought it was that one-point win over NJIT
so we'll replay
the other
the
day.
Show, and then at 4 butter. O'clock is Cold Hard Football Facts with Kerry Byrne. As for us, we'll see you tomorrow.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.